welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
I want you guys to examine my commuter mug.
Yeah.
Just feel about an inch from the bottom. Danny, slide your thumb down about an inch.
Yeah.
Is it on that sticky spot?
Yes, it totally is.
Hand that to Teresa, please. Feel that sticky spot. They're holding my commuter mug now. I wanted that spot hard this morning with the Brillo side of the sponge.
Okay, you know, so there's nothing disgusting about touching a sticky spot.
Normally,
there was a sticker on there, and it was removed, but of course, the ghost of the sticky spot was left. It's something I spout off about on a semi-regular basis. This morning, I decided to try to do something about it, so I went at it. Hard, and I'm a guy who's used to removing paint from things. Half of your life as a carpenter is like scraping glue and paint and stuff off of them. Bald Brian, please put your put your left thumb onto the base of that thing.
The last time you said to touch your sticky spot, I walked away with a healthy check.
That's right.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. Now, that's been through the washing machine 37 times, and I went at it with the Brillo side of the sponge today, and it is actually a little stickier than it was. I think I must have reactivated it.
You heated it up.
I was thinking to myself, well, I'll just have to get some lighter fluid and a razor when I get home and go at it, in which case it'll scar up the mirror-like finish that's on the thing. But I just thought, to what end with this? Are we going to work this out? And then, as my wife was announcing, actually, about twice a week, my wife makes the proclamation of,
this is what you woke me up for.
Do you ever get tired of complaining about stuff? Do you have a Don Henley song in there somewhere called, The Heart of the Matter?
I like that song.
I do too, but we're going to go out to dinner. We're going to take the kids out to dinner. She asked me if I thought it was fun.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Yeah, now we're... I said, no, it is not fun taking the kids out to dinner because you don't get to eat your dinner. You have to feed them and watch them. And
you're a spectacle.
Yeah. Kid knocked over my beer, too.
What?
I had a beer, grabbed the placemat it was on. I turned for one beat while the old lady went to the salad bar and the other kid grabbed the placemat. And yanked it. Everything's a handle. Placemats are just, they might not be able to get hold of what's on the placemat, but they'll get hold of the placemat. But anyway.
Most people don't know this, but I used to have three kids, and one knocked over my cocktail.
And that was it.
He knocked over Daddy's beer.
that was this close. And then there's that weird thing, too. Whenever you knock something over at the restaurant, when the waiter goes, oh, I'll grab you another one. And you think to yourself, oh, that's either the coolest thing ever or you're charging me for another one, in which case you're just getting another $8 for 40 cents worth of beer. Mm-hmm. But you never want to ask. Like, you never want to go, oh, awesome. Wait a minute. Am I paying? Because if not, F you. I mean, that's cool. Like, you know, you never want to do, there is that weird thing when you drop something, spill something, or break something, the waiter will always go, let me grab you another one, and you're always thinking, well, on one hand, there was an inch of beer left in the thing. I'll probably call it good, but if you're getting me a freebie, knock yourself out, but if you want me to buy another beer, I don't really want another beer that badly, but you can't ask in the heat of the moment. It makes you the world's cheapest person.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were driving to the restaurant, and I was listening to a local station. It's like K-Big or something, some kind of like easy listening something, one of my wife's presets. And this song came out. This song came on the radio, and I thought, oh, I like this song. This is, I have like two Don Henley songs I like, and this is one of them. But they cut the bridge. They cut the song. They shorten the song. And I understand it. Maybe it's 4 minutes and 15 seconds, and they want it to come in at 3 minutes and 28 seconds. So they cut the song, but the part of the song they cut out is my favorite part of the song times three.
right.
Normally, they'll just cut one of them. And I'll get to the part, and this is somewhere around the part of the song where my wife asked me if I ever get tired of complaining. And I said, well, you take a good song and you cut the best part out of it. All right, this is the part they cut out. They go right from the part before this.
Right.
To the part where he goes, I think it's right here where they hop in. They go right from there to here. And so they did it on the first one, and I was like, all right. It's a pretty smooth cut. You couldn't tell if you didn't know the song. It's just the song is 60% worse because the part I love the most in the song is gone. And then they did it again, and then they did it again. And they successfully trimmed, 21 seconds out of the song, but they cut the best goddamn 21 seconds in the song. And so I started getting angry in the car, and she says, what do you care? And I said, well, when people burn calories effing things up, it always drives me nuts. I don't mind when things are effed up.
Right.
Things are effed up all the time by stupid people just making horrible decisions. It's like there are cars that come out of the factory effed up. There are Pontiacs out there that whoever designed it should have their hands cut off and their eyeballs poked out. And you wonder why certain American car companies are in trouble. Take a look at some of any Pontiac with the word Sun in it. Sunfire, Sunchaser, Sunflower, Sun whatever. They're horrible, horrible cars. But at least nobody burned calories making them that way. What I mean is sometimes people get hold of cars, put crappy rims, crappy stickers, crappy whatever. And I said, okay, that guy just spent $5,000 turning that into a piece of ass.
Right.
This is people burning calories to make something bad. And artistically, I don't know if you're Don Henley. How happy are you?
I was just thinking that. I mean, he carefully crafted this. It's not like they say, let's crop the Mona Lisa so
right.
it fits into a frame better.
God, you and I think so differently. I'm thinking it's meeting a really hot girl that you get along with great and finding out she has no vagina. Well, maybe the Mona Lisa doesn't.
Crop.
Right.
So maybe.
Crop.
Yeah.
I just say.
Just
I'm
the
just
favorite
saying,
parts are gone.
If
Got
you're
it.
Don Henley.
How does he allow this?
I don't know. And then the other question is, does he get a choice or is it just like the label?
I bet you, because I think he has a reputation for being pretty protective about his music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure, but I know he had a big dispute with his label a few years ago. They weren't promoting his records, so he changed labels. Maybe they have control of his old music.
Well, it was good times just to hear.
So wait, then when the wife asked you, do you like going out with the kids?
Yeah.
Did you think about maybe lying?
I did think about lying. Well, not so I can. I don't enjoy going out with the kids so I can eat because I can't eat. And it gets you the thing that I can't stand, which is you got a bunch of eyeballs on you. Everybody.
Right. You already probably do anyway because people recognize you.
Sometimes, but I don't know or I don't care. But now the kids. And see, the kids, like, I love sitting in a booth. Mm-hmm. I hate it when they put you at the table right in the middle of the restaurant. And when you have kids, you got to get the booster chair and you have to sit at a table. And they always put you right in the middle of everything. And then everyone just starts looking at you because the kids are making their noise and they're doing their thing and they're knocking stuff over. And they're good kids. They're pretty easy, but you still get all the eyeballs. And then it's weird when people watch you eat because you don't realize how many sort of faux pas you... I guess it would accumulate while eating. You'll do a lot of stuff with your hands that you're not supposed to do. You'll do a fair amount of chewing and talking. You'll do a lot of stealing. Like when I feed my kids, one bite for daddy, one bite for you. You know, once in a while, I'll put something in my mouth, pull it out of my mouth, shove it in the kid's mouth. You know, you don't. You know what? People shouldn't watch you eat.
No.
It's,
because with things like fries, all real men will not hesitate 1 second to wipe their nose in one continuous motion on the way to food and picking it up and eating it.
Yeah.
Any guy will. Don't look that way, Teresa. All men do it. It's like finding out your guy does it with himself. We all do it.
I know that much.
Yeah, when being
well,
watched.
Now you know the fry thing.
Being watched while eating is not an awesome feeling. And
no.
then the kids sing out. But it's, you know, it's good times. And my wife, at the end of the weekend, was putting a log in the kid's diary.
Oh.
I said, what is this thing? So you gotta have the kid's diary. I said, well, what kind of stuff do you put in that kid's diary? She said, well, you know how Natalia loves the game. Natalia figured out somehow that saying no was very funny. And when she right. says no, she shakes her head so hard that she'll fall down. Sure, her whole head just does that. And so her big game is she picks up a ball or something. She goes to hand it to me. And then as I go to reach for it, she pulls it back and she does her head like that. And she laughs. You know, she just laughs. It's the cutest. It's the cutest thing ever, but that's going into the diary.
Right.
Once in a while, my wife forgets where I'm from, and I'll be like, diary? What the hell kind of, you know, diary for the kids? Everyone has. I said, huh? So, yeah. First haircut, you know, lock of the hair, all that stuff. I said, do you have one of these diaries? Yes, of course. Do you? Sweetie. Are you high? You don't remember? Haven't you heard all the stories?
See, that's what I was going to say. It's when she said, isn't there anything you can't complain about? I went, have you actually been introduced to your wife? Has she met you yet?
I know. She thought we were going to make it.
I knew you a week. I thought, I didn't even ask a question. I turned, I'm guessing, to Teresa and said, there's nothing that guy can't complain about. And well, I haven't been married to you and had twins with you yet.
We couldn't make it 18 feet back the driveway. We could not back out of the driveway more than 18 feet before the complaining started with the Don Henley
and she's
song.
She's thinking you're going to have date night. And here you are, like, let me register my disapproval
you
with
the song.
You take
the best part of the song and you cut it out times three. All right, now I want to hear it again. Was the cut to that part, or that's how it normally went. All right, well, I'll bore you guys during the break with this. All right, let's take ourselves a break. When we come back, a little something called Designated Ranter. I got all my boring rants, you know, all my freeway stuff and my sticker stuff. In this one. But what about you? What bothers you? You guys hear about what bothers me all the time, but what about you? You got a beef? You got a complaint? Now, you could talk about Sheila from accounting, but I don't really know her. What are your beefs? What are your rants? Why don't you let me finish them for you? See, the problem is a lot of you folks are just as upset about anything as I am, but you're not a professional complainer like I am. So your stuff is like, man, you know, when you go to the supermarket and they put, you know, they have the different flavored chips and they have like the jalapeno ones and the ranch chips and the regular chips and they don't put the right sticker on it. So I got the jalapeno chips because they were in the same bag as the, man, it sucked.
Right.
And you're like, huh? And everyone's looking at you all glazed over. You're like, dude, you know, because I like Cool Ranch.
Right.
Cool Ranch Doritos. But they're in the same bag as the Jalapeno Ranch, except for there's a little sticker the size of a chickpea that says Jalapeno Ranch. And if they would... It just sucks, you know? And you know, you kind of know what they're saying, and you're thinking, I think I could finish this for you, but I don't really want to step in, and I have feelings about it, but they're no stronger now after hearing your sort of confused
rant.
And you're like an attorney who knows the truth, except for you have no law degree.
Yeah.
So you're just like, that dude is so guilty, man.
I could tell.
Man, I could... make a lot of noises where air comes out, no words.
You can articulate somebody's issue very well, and then they can steal your points and make them their own.
The rant for those who cannot rant for themselves.
That's right.
Even my girlfriend's a school teacher, and when she gets excited, she uses the word thingy for anything. And as soon as you stop using the King's English, you have lost me. I don't care what you're complaining about because you have failed to complain articulately.
I like when people head down a road that they know where they're going to hit a speed bump, where they start getting into a topic that they don't know, and they're going to screw something up, or they go like, And then so then the mechanic and the manager tell me that I'm going to need a complete overhaul of my thing bobber. You know, I already know it's like what I do with computers. Like, I don't know whether to find a... I don't know the difference between a... I don't have this. No, I have no computer. I have no computer ease in my head at all. Just like the person has no mechanic ease. All right, listen, 866-901 Adam. You have a topic. I will rant for you.
Can a brother get a table dance, peeps? Today on Music Monday, we'll hear everyone's personal theme songs. Ozzy reviews the number one movie in America, The Bourne Ultimatum. And from The Simpsons and Spinal Tap, Harry Shearer. Hey, Harry and I got something in common. The Jackman also goes to 11, as long as her MySpace profile says she's 15.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, new bit. Designated ranter. You come up with a topic, I'll rant about it instead of me warming over the stuff you've heard a thousand times. You come up with something, I'll finish it off.
You got a pet peeve that you can't quite turn into a rant? Let Adam pick up your slack. He's your designated ranter.
I'm just going to start at the top with Jimmy on line one and move my way down. Jimmy?
Man, Devo, Mother Teresa, good morning, guys.
Yeah. Hi. All right. Starting to sound like a morning show, finally.
Yeah, about time.
Topic for the rant, please.
How about slow people in the fast lane?
Everybody yes.
Everybody else is doing 65, and these people are doing like 50.
I know, and it used to be called the passing lane, and I just got back from Europe about a month ago, and they treat it as virgin soil over there. It is holy land. You are in the fast lane when you are passing, even if you're going 100 in the far left lane, or in that case, the far right lane. I was driving in England. It doesn't matter. You don't spend time in that lane unless you're going by somebody. And once you get by them, you then move over because they also magically have something called a bullet train over there, and we just have a train that ugly poor people and fat people ride in. Maybe it's why our trains are so slow. Everyone who rides them is such a fat ass. Maybe they are bullet trains that just go 40 miles an hour. Here's the reality. In the 20s and 30s, we had a network of trains in this country. That's how you got cross country, on a train. Well, the trains went about 50 miles an hour back in the 20s and 30s, and now you go to 2007 and we're quickly coming on 100 years and the trains go the same goddamn speed. When you go to Europe, they go 250 miles an hour. Maybe they appreciate their time a little more over there. We do nothing but talk about safety, and it's always click it or ticket, 55, stay alive. How about shake your ass, get the F out of the passing lane, and let's start calling it the passing lane. It's just called the number one lane or the fast lane, although the fast lane is any lane that's moving faster than 18 miles an hour in this godforsaken city. I agree, and look, here's the deal, too. We all have the power to shame everyone who's not doing what we want them to do. It's called a horn. I cannot tell you the number of times I've sat at an intersection with someone who wasn't turning right on a red where it's legal out here in California, and they've sat there and I've tooted on the horn and they've given me the what the F look, and I've given them, hey, it's legal, buddy, and I've tooted again and watched them dart out into oncoming traffic just because of the shame. Get behind these people and honk. Flash your high beams. Ram them if you need to. Hey, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I completely concur, or I'd like to create some other alternate civilization utopia known as Speedville, where people who had jobs and schedules
yes.
lived.
Well, can I ask Jimmy, because this was the first designated rant, was that satisfying for you?
Yes, it was. And I don't know, I might have a solution. Driving back east in some states, they have fines if you're not, like, passing anybody in the fast lane, they'll fine you.
Really?
Yeah.
We'd love to do that here, yes.
During the daylight hours in the state of Montana, there is no speed limit
yeah,
on certain roads. There's no
really?
The speed limit is dictated by the safety of your automobile. So theoretically, you could take your Ferrari, since it was built to do 130 quite safely, I would assume, that you could go 130 according to the way I read the law.
Plus, it'd be the only guy in Montana with a Ferrari.
No, you and the guy that owns Montana, Ted Turner.
Oh, right. Damn. Luke? Well, at least I know who it was I saw that other Ferrari.
Go ahead, that's the guy that bought this thing.
Hey, Luke?
Yeah, good morning, Adam.
What's happening? And if he's wearing one of those choo-choo train hats.
It's got to be
Ted. That's what Ted Turner wears, like a retarded conductor. Hey, Luke, what can I rant about?
What gets me is people who, mostly I notice this at fast food, but they're so policy-driven, they can't give you something that's not on the menu. Mm.
Yeah.
If you want bacon on a burger that doesn't come with bacon or something like that, and they tell you you can't have it instead of telling you it'll be 40 cents extra.
Yeah, they're not into modifying things. I used to have this trouble all the time because here's the problem, and you guys be honest. You speak to people who work at fast food, especially out here in Southern California, like you talk to your pets. It's like when I talk to Molly, I'm like, I switch tone.
Right.
You don't realize how much tone shift you have, you know? When you're talking to an intelligent person who you work with, there's no tone shift. When you're talking to your kid or your pet or the guy in the window, you're like, okay, I need a large grande burrito. You start bringing up the arms, not the regular,
right?
The grande burrito. Like, you don't talk to other intelligent people and go, I need a plain cake donut, not one with sprinkles,
right?
Not a bear claw. But you talk to them that way. Between the microphone, between the technology and the person with English is barely a second language, right? Mixed meets. I have no IQ because I'm working at the Taco Bell. You get in this weird, slow, sing-songy, condescending whatever. Now, I always order the same thing from Taco Bell. That is a bean burrito, but I like them to add tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
But one time I said, give me a bean burrito with tomatoes, and all I got was the beans and the tomatoes. I didn't get the cheese and the onions and the sauce because I said a bean burrito with whatever. So now every time I order, I go, I'd like a bean burrito. Are you listening? Hey, could you tap your head on the microphone twice? Okay, you understand. Good. I need a bean burrito, not a taco. Not a chalupa, a bean burrito. This is why it takes so long at the drive-thru, because everyone else knows this. It's $4. You get $80 worth of food for $4. You get 70 pounds worth of food. You get the ribs that went on Fred Flintstone's car that turned it over for $3.99. But you have to talk like you're talking to a seven-year-old for 10 minutes. So I need a bean, but bean burrito. With tomatoes, but with the cheese and the tomatoes, too. Now this has gotten to me my latest problem, which is, so you want the bean burrito with onions, extra onions and extra cheese? Because it already comes with cheese. No, bean burrito, regular cheese, regular onion, but add tomatoes. So you want a bean burrito with just tomato? No. Okay, just take everything in the pot and put it in a bag and put some tortillas on it. I'll give you $80. I'll make it out in the parking lot.
Now, if she does it correctly, do you give her the positive reinforcement that you give Molly? Like, good girl.
That's good girl. And then I rub her ass till her tail starts wagging. Yeah, you feel horrible because these people are getting $6 an hour for the most miserable job on the planet.
I hardly ever yell at the guy at Mickey D's or anything like that anymore, because it has come to my attention. They're working at Mickey D's and they're my age.
You can't do that. But it is one of the slippery slope problems, which is we get into this debate out here. At least Luke's calling from Anaheim, so he knows Southern California. We have this bogus debate all the time about closing the borders and checking the illegals. And everyone always says, well, who's going to do those jobs? Well, kids are going to do those jobs. You see, I worked at McDonald's when I was 15 to 15 and a half, and then I got a little smarter and I started cleaning carpets for a living. I moved in the fast-paced world of carpet cleaning. The point is, lucrative and fast-paced world. Yeah. The point is you're supposed to have kids who do that right. job. Now, when a kid F's up your thing, when there's some snot-nosed, little toe-headed 16-year-old who's in there, thinks his poop don't stink, it's easy to settle his hash when you roll up to right. the window. When you come across the window and there's a 51-year-old guy from Guatemala standing there with a tear coming out of one eye who doesn't speak good English, has nine kids, you don't want to go, hey, douchebag, what part of large Pepsi didn't you understand? Well, the point is none. Yeah. I'm not from here.
Right.
So you feel weird. See, there's a certain satisfaction yelling at kids.
Yeah.
Listen, kid, I used to do your job, yep. and I did it twice as good as you with half the attitude. So go back in there, and you ask your boss the difference between mild and fire when it comes to the hot sauce family. Huh?
Yes.
I'll wait.
Yeah, when you get some 50-year-old Armenian who was an engineer in his home country before he was slinging fries, you don't feel very good about settling
right.
his hash.
And the guy's been there for 13 years, yeah. which is another part that sucks, which is you're only supposed to be there for about 6 months. It's supposed to blow ass, and it's supposed to motivate you to get an education right. so you never have to do this again. All right, yes, fast food. No one speaks English. Nobody understands what you're saying. And there is no modifying. There is yeah. no mixing and matching. If you want the breakfast sandwich and it doesn't come with bacon, then you'll have to order the ranchero bacon sandwich. Take that.
Right.
And piecemeal it and part it out.
If I may recommend, if you never want to go through this again, you learn to eat beef ball. Because once you said the name of the restaurant, you've also ordered everything they sell.
Just a beef bowl.
I'd like a beef bowl.
That's
beef and a bowl, please.
I would also recommend what I do, because I don't like the mayonnaise. What I do is I say, no mayonnaise. Well, you're always going to get it. But then I say, seriously, I'm allergic to mayonnaise and I might die.
Yeah. You have to up the ante.
Yeah.
Lewis?
Yes?
What do you got for me?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
My biggest thing is when I'm driving up the road and there's a cop pulled over, you know, side of the road, and then there's another cop parked next to him and they're just chatting away forever.
And it's doing what to the traffic?
Blocking traffic, because you're stopped there, you don't know what to do, whether to go around them or, you know, what the heck's going on.
Oh, the guy, the cop that pulls up to the other guy and he wants to yeah. have a little chat with the other guy. Yeah, I know. Cops seem to be in no particular hurry to move things along. They also don't realize that when you pull over somebody by the side of the freeway or by the side of the road, there's a rubbernecking thing that goes way, way back to the back part of your... There's a part of your brain that's... there's a part that's in everyone's brain, which is you're in the third grade at some point, and the principal comes walking into your classroom, and he says, I need to speak to Jimmy Becker. And the teacher goes, Jimmy, and everyone looks at this guy get up and walk right. across the class and does what?
Ooh. Yeah, it's walking the last
ooh,
mile.
Ooh.
Tom Hanks might as well.
Now, maybe his mom just had a heart attack and he has right. to deliver some horrible news. Maybe they're moving him up a grade. He's the smartest yeah. guy in the class, but most probably something
terrible has happened.
He's being reprimanded, and every single kid, there's 30 kids, there's 31 kids in that class, 30 of them are staring at the one walk across. Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, we all have that.
We need to.
You see, all the stuff we have from you know, grade school, it's all still there.
Yeah.
We just bury it. We just put a bunch of cologne and a three-piece suit on it and try to get through society, but that's all we all feel. And when we're driving down the freeway and there's a guy standing there and a cop's writing him a ticket, ooh, there goes you. And what do? Well, we got to slow down just a little bit because we want to see Jimmy Becker get busted. And then we want to feel better because that's not us. You see, right. that's how we work. Like, ooh,
yeah.
that's not me.
I'm so not getting into it right now.
Right. So knowing that everyone slows down and rubbernecks when little Jimmy Becker gets his moving violation, go ahead and get the F off the freeway. But in general, yeah, cops do a lot of hanging out, a lot of stopping, and a lot of chatting, and a lot of whatevering, and we're scared. You see, especially in L.A., because the cops are the Gestapo. I'm trying to think of working cop in a Kopstapo or whatever it is. They are more German brown shirt thugs than they are actual. Here's the deal. In most other cities, criminals are scared of cops.
Yeah.
In L.A., black people and motorists are scared of cops. The biggest fear I have in this city, let's put it this way. Let me ask you guys this. Answer this honestly if you come from Los Angeles. How much time have you spent looking over your shoulder for a criminal, someone who, you know, maybe you're at the ATM and it's at night and you're kind of looking around, making sure everything's cool, or you're just stopped at a park light, stoplight at a, you know, not so great part of town. You're kind of looking around, making sure no one's walking up on your car, whatever. How much time have you spent either in or out of your house, your car, whatever? How much time have you spent, well, let's just say outside of your house. How much time have you spent looking for potential trouble, criminals, what have you, something that might harm you or your family, versus looking for cops, like in your rear view, where they're at, maybe you're going to get a ticket, jaywalking when you're walking or whatever. I realize that I spend 95% of my time driving, looking in the rear view, trying to look on the overpass to make sure they're not up parked down there with the radar gun, jaywalking, looking around. I spend the lion's share of my time looking around for cops, even though I'm not a criminal and right. I'm not really doing anything. You got to ask yourself as a city, do you want the tax-paying, law-abiding citizens in your city constantly head on a swivel looking for cops?
Yes. This is no exaggeration. I live in Koreatown. I literally live on a corner, which is a gang warland
right.
between the Beat You Down crew and the Latin Kings, and I'm not scared of them at all. I spend way more time worried that cops are going to pull me over than a gang member's going to shoot me.
Almost everyone in yeah. Los Angeles does, and I don't think they do that in other cities.
Now, I think if a criminal showed up and I needed the cops and they were there, I'd be happy to see them, but the fact of the matter is, when I see a policeman behind me, I am immediately nervous.
Right.
When I
yeah.
see a criminal in front of me, behind me, next to me, anywhere, I'm a tad excited as to what can I make happen here.
Yeah.
Because criminals can be dealt with.
Yeah.
If he just says, give me your money, we're going to fight. If he pulls out a gun, I'm going to give him my money, and he's going to go. Either way, it's going to go the way I make it. With cops, you're theirs. There's going to go the way they make it.
I just realized I've spent 10 times as much time looking for cops, and yet I'm not yeah. high. I'm not a criminal.
Yes,
I've done nothing wrong. Great, great job here, Villaraigosa. Hey, Ricky.
Yes, sir.
All right, this will be my last one. Give it to me.
Well, I got a problem with people who get in a little fender bender, either on a regular or residential street, on a freeway, and see fit to pull to stop right where they are in the middle of the road.
All right, baby. You've got a bad line, but you're preaching to the choir here. I was doing this rant yesterday on the ride home on Sunday. Yes, yesterday, driving home from the beach, and all of a sudden the traffic stopped. And what happened? Well, it's the same thing that happened on the 101 freeway going the other direction, which is somebody got into a fender bender, and we treat it like an effing crime scene. So everyone gets out of their car, and they start exchanging phone numbers and insurance agents in the middle of the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else on the freeway comes to a halt. You have now hundreds of people that are losing hundreds of collective hours. The weekend is going up in smoke because you screwed up. You made a mistake. You hit the brakes too late or too early. Whatever happened, one of you smacked into somebody else. Now the car's cosmetically damaged, but it works just fine. Who do you think's coming out? Do you think Columbo's coming out there with McLeod, and he's going to the Bourne identity is going to come out there?
They're putting their best people on
black helicopter and rappel down and draw a chalk outline around your ass. Get your effing ass off the freeway. You're standing in the middle of the effing freeway. I drive by these people, assess the damage, and then I honk. And everyone else should. Scare the crap out of them. Yes, they've had a bad day. Now we're forced to have a bad day, too? You've ruined our day with your bad day. I don't give a good rat's ass about you. A second ago, I felt sorry for you because you got into a collision. Now I'm pissed because you're standing in the middle of the freeway. Get your effing ass off the freeway. I got rear-ended about 3 weeks ago. I looked in my rear view. I saw these a-holes get out of their car and start standing around. It was in the middle of the freeway, in the middle of the weekend, and I just went, F it, and I just kept driving. I had little bumper damage, but I'm not going to stand right. around in the middle of the effing freeway while people drive and honk and yell, where are the juggies? Actually, that's half the car. Then the other half yells, "Where's Dr. Drew?" I like the super creative where.
I get that. Now it's
where's
you.
Keith Bartridge?
Yeah, all the time.
Where's Bonaducci? Yeah, I'm getting a couple of "Where's Bonaducci's" too, because now I get the "Where's the Juggies?" "Where's Dr. Drew?" And now the "Where's Bonaducci?"
Nice.
Where's? I don't know where my family is for Christ's sake.
I've come up with the stock answer. If it's not my turn to watch them, no matter who they're asking me about. So-and-so, not my turn to watch them.
I would yell something back, but it always seems like that. It never seems like one of those nobody actually wants to know where.
Right.
Like, they never go, "Hey, where are the Juggies?" And I go, "Okay, buddy." And they go, "Seriously, I'd like to locate the Juggies. Do you know of their whereabouts?" It's never that. It's just "where the Juggies" means, "How you doing?" It's a sort of wave. It's an oral wave.
They're right next to me, and they're not looking at me. They're looking at somebody else, and they go, "The Partridge Family." And I say something to the effect of, "Not all of them."
Right.
And continue. It's like the randomest stuff people just yell at you.
All right. Let's see. Fat, slacking American children.
You can do one for me, 'cause I don't seem to be able to do it. Could people stop trying to explain that I'm famous to children who will never believe them? I had a lady yesterday for 15 minutes, and she wouldn't let me go while she tried to explain to an 8-year-old the Partridge Family.
Mm-hmm.
And then she referenced New Kids on the Block as a comparison. It was horrifying. And I just wanted to punch her in the face. And I'm thinking, well, this person knows who I am. I can't punch him in the face. I swear to God, I thought to myself, and I'm thinking this far too often right now, I go, I wish Adam were just here. And the kids just kind of stand off to the side, just start ranting at this woman. And I could escape easily.
Well, we could have killed two birds with one stone, because if I was there and someone yelled, "Where's Bonaducci?"
Yeah.
I could say he's right here. And then I could finish the rant. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. No outro, right. Bald Brian. I'll tell you why. I got a few more good ones.
Oh, good.
Up there.
Yeah.
We got, let's see. One that catches my fat, slacking American children. Ooh, do I have feelings about that. We'll continue letting me continue your rant next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. It's no surprise that Adam's anger is carried on into another segment. So the Ace Man's continuing as your designated ranter. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Forgot to tell you about the weekend of complaining. We went out to dinner on Friday night as well, me and my wife, without the kids.
Oh, that's nice.
And we were sitting outside in a nice Italian place, sort of candlelight, dimly lit outside, nighttime dinner kind of thing. And the check came. And the check was either for $68 or it was for $60, because the zero that followed the six was one of those zeros that wasn't very round. It was taller than it was round. And then my biggest pet peeve is they draw the line through it. So when you're sitting at night outside with just a candlelight and you're trying to figure out if this zero is in fact a zero or if it's possibly an eight, because there seems to be a bar going through it, that's when the "why do we need the bar going through the zero" rant comes in with the wife. And the wife goes, "I can kind of see that it looks something like a zero." And I said, "Yeah, but why are we even talking about it? Just put a goddamn zero." And she's like, "Well, that's an O. You see, the computer has to know what an O is versus a zero." And I thought, why? What would be wrong with the letter O behind the six, thus making it a very clear 60 versus a sketchy could be 68? And then I said this to my wife. She said, "Yeah, I can see it does look like an 8. It looks a lot like an 8. And it's a sort of computer printout, American Express, whatever. It's been, you know, it's not the clearest of all." I said this to my wife. I said, "Look, how many people have credit cards, or how many people are sitting at a restaurant right now worldwide? Millions?
Millions.
Millions." Mm-hmm. I said, "How many times just in one goddamn day do you think," and this is throughout the world, this is not just in Studio City or United States, this is throughout the world, "how many times a day does somebody look at one of these sort of blurry zeros with the line going across it and mistake it for an 8? Millions of times a day?
I would say that happens even in restaurants in Somalia.
Right.
And the amount of restaurants in Somalia probably can be counted on one thumb.
Right. It happens because people are having some wine. It's not lit like you're sitting in a classroom. And it looks, to a guy who has 20/20 vision, moi, like it could go either way. I'm not sure if this is an 8 or I'm not sure if it's a 0. It's got the line slashed through it. And it happens to me on the cell phone when I'm looking up someone's number sometimes. I see the slash before it disappears and I think, oh, is that an 8 or 0? I thought this must happen millions of times a day, probably to the tune of millions of dollars screwed up one way or the other. Too much, too little, whatever. Right. Whatever it is. Why can't we just have the good old-fashioned 0 behind there? I know there's a computer reason why we can't have a 0 behind there or an O behind there, but let's fix it. You taking your number and making it look sort of like another number does not add clarity to the check.
No, because I think the computer thing is just because a O can be capitalized and a 0 cannot. Would be the only reason I can think of. I don't understand the properly written 7.
Yes, with the line.
It's got a bar that goes up, then a swoopy thing, then the line, and then across to it. It looks more like the Klingon symbol for Death Squadron than 7.
I used to have a friend who insisted on drawing the proper 7, except for when he drew the line through it, it connected the circle, so it looked like a proper 9. And I would yell at him all the time, and he'd go, hey, that's how you do. Yes, retard, that's how you do a 7 when you want people to think it's a 9.
People need your help, Adam.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I just want to mention that when I said it looked like the Klingon symbol for Death Squadron, I could see Brian take exception. Apparently, it does not.
I saw drip come from him. Are you kidding? Somebody's been spending too much time at Comic-Con. Damon?
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Topic for a rant,
how
please.
How dare you?
Well, this is what I run into, okay? This is one of two things you got to think about, especially when it comes to who you're going to have working at McDonald's or folding your burritos at Taco Bell, okay? You have the people who are 35, 45, 50 years old who don't have the dignity or self-respect, and the only thing they have left is that $6.75 job. So guess what? They're going to hold that job in pride.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have that fat, slobby American kids who don't have any respect whatsoever, who can't even fill out an application and need mom and dad to negotiate the salary or wages for them.
Yeah, I don't mind the really stupid guy working the menial job. I do mind the guy who looks at it as his only moment in the sun, who's going to lord it over you.
And
you
what
know,
are you going to do?
Yeah, you're going, hey, dude, I'm just gonna run to the car and grab a sweater. My wife's cold in the theater. Once you leave, you can't come back in. Well, here's my ticket stub. Once you leave, you can't come back in. You're not gonna remember this conversation, let's say, 80 seconds from now when I come running back with my wife's sweater. Sorry, once you leave, I can't. That guy, yes. All right, so you're saying, but are we on fat, slacking American children?
It's the fat, slacking American children who don't have a respect enough to, get the education or do anything for themselves.
So All right. You're getting preachy on top of my preachy. I don't need preach on preach. Don't make me turn my rant venom toward you, Damon.
Yeah, because he's coming close.
He's coming close.
A good hitter or a proficient hitter doesn't need a designated hitter.
Right.
You're trying to help people who need
your help. He doesn't need me, but I'll take his topic for one second.
No, he did need you, and he was unaware of it.
Yeah.
That bothered me more.
Talking too much to know he needed me, ironically. Fat, slacking American children. Yes, kids are pusses now. And the problem with the kids being a puss is they don't have a problem with being a puss. You see, when I grew up as a young boy, you had a problem with being a puss. What would happen is you'd be playing a sport, you'd get hit in the chest, you'd get knocked down, you'd get the wind knocked out of you, and everyone would go, are you okay? And you'd hop up with the wind knocked out of you, and you'd say, I'm okay.
Right.
Because you didn't want to be said puss.
Right.
Now a light breeze knocks you over and you're on the ground writhing in pain yelling you want your mom and your attorney.
In your bicycle helmet.
Somebody's going to have to pay. Yes, you're padded up like a hockey goalie to go out to the goddamn... You can't go to the mailbox without putting a helmet on today as a kid. We have everyone asking them all the time, are you all right, sweetie? That must have been horrible. Oh, my God, are you all right? And now they've turned into pusses.
Right.
I miss the days when a young man and a young woman had a little pride. They wanted to be a little tougher. They wanted to be like an adult. It's the kind of thing that may have hurt you know, they didn't want to get caught crying. And any adult had jurisdiction over your ass.
Uh-huh.
You could be walking down the street and a hobo could walk past you and say, "Hey, son, would you rattle me off 40 push-ups?" And he could be standing there drinking Sterno with his toes poking out of his shoes. And you would get down and peel off 40 push-ups. Yeah. Why? He was 45 right. years old and you were 9.
Yeah.
End of discussion.
Right.
Now everyone is scared. They're friends. You know, it used to be that if you went to one of your friends' houses, you were one of the kids.
Yeah.
You were like a child of the family. And if you got out of line, Dad could whack you on the ass.
Absolutely.
Or tell you to get the F out of here. Dad could treat you in his house. It's like you're in his house. You're a kid. You are technically one of his kids now, and he
right.
gets to do whatever you want. And if he gave you a tap on the ass, your parents would answer it with, what'd he do? Because I'll give him another tap on the ass. What'd he do? Did he get out of line? Did he get smart with you? Now everyone just wants to play video games and eat everything. And, you know, we're always talking about the kids' diet. Oh, they eat the fatty food. They eat the chips. Kids love garbage. They always have loved garbage. I'm sure you could go explore caves in Africa and you'd find pork rind wrappers from what the kids were eating 2 million years ago. That's the way it was. Yes, we drank soda. Yes, we ate crap. We always ate crap. You don't, what, you think Lucky Charms was invented, what, in February? That ass has been around for 60, 70 years. The reason we didn't get fat is because then we hit the yard.
Right.
Yeah.
And we started playing. We didn't go into the living room and digest our Lucky Charms over a game of Grand Theft Auto.
There, girl.
We moved around. So well, we get yes. so focused on the diet, but we don't get focused on the movement. Hey, fat ass, put down the joystick and go get busy out on the lawn.
You know what kids do today? That they and this goes up to actual adults in my book.
Yeah.
They say two words I would never think to say, and I think at Adam's age, you would never think to say. You would never think to say it, but now I don't want to hear it past 12. Kids today up to their early 20s say, "I'm only." Meaning they look
right.
at you and you want them to do something, they go, right. "I'm only 22. It's like, are you kidding? When I was 22, I started saying, I think I stopped saying I'm only at around 9. You didn't go, "I'm only 9.
Well,
you didn't go, "I'm only 17. You'd go, "Eat me, I'm 17.
Let's right. not forget just a generation ago, all the guys that were lining up to go over to Europe or Asia or, you know, the Pacific campaign and get slaughtered. Half of them were 16
right.
lying
yeah.
about their age, saying they're 18. Now, if you had a war and you didn't have a good ID thing worked out,
yeah.
there'd be a bunch of 19 and 20-year-olds saying they were 16, so they didn't have to go.
Yes, what about our children now who have a Little League with no outs?
No winners, no outs,
yeah.
no shaming, no up, no down, no right, no wrong. Please, so sad. I know, you cannot forge a kid's identity and personality by just removing all adversity. You
yes.
must add adversity.
Yes.
You pad everything. You give everyone a participation trophy. And before you know it, you just have a group of C students who have never hoisted a championship trophy, who never know the sting of defeat. Your personality is forged not by the victories, but by the defeats.
Right.
You know, you're worried about, see, you're so worried about the defeats. That's the part of life that gives you perspective, that gives you personality, that gives you character.
Yeah, and that's true. There's no expression, "History is written by the participants." The expression is, "History is written by the winners." That's
right.
how it goes. And you cannot win if you can't lose.
I also miss the personal shaming. The part back, used to do it all the time in Pop Warner football. They'd line up everyone on that blocking sled. You'd get everyone down that three-point stance on that blocking sled. And then the coach would get in the middle of everyone. He'd hold the football out in front of him. And he'd say, "You don't listen to the count. You go on the movement of the ball. This is defense. When that ball moves, you explode into that sled with all the dummies on it. But do not listen to the count. Focus on the ball." And he'd hold that ball out in front, and he'd yell, "Hut! Hut!" And you'd see guys like kind of lurching
yeah.
forward a little. "Hut!" And then he'd move the ball, and everyone would explode into the thing. Well, the next time everyone would line up, he'd hold the ball out again, and he'd yell, "Hut!" And one guy would lurch forward and bang into the bag. And then he'd stand up and he'd go, well, you can all do a lap now.
Yeah.
And you got one guy to thank, and that's Higginstaller, because he moved forward. He was offside. He hurt the team. His lack of concentration, his mental hiccup cost the team, and now the team is doing a lap, and everyone would say, Higginstaller, I'm going to kick your ass! And everyone would start running thing, but he was not afraid to say that this guy effed it up. Not right. We all effed up. No, we didn't all eff up. Six of the guys did exactly as they were told. One guy screwed up. That one guy was Higginstaller. He's why the rest of us are doing a lap, and yes, he needs to be singled out and punished.
I agree.
Not only for us, but for him.
Yeah.
Because if it's all our faults, then what did he learn? He didn't learn anything.
I agree.
Damn you. Where's my windbreaker and clipboard, Bonaduce?
I'm so seeing this happen. I just see this moment happening in Corolla's life.
All right. We need to take a break. Hold on. I just want to say hi to Miguel. Miguel from San Francisco.
Yeah. See, look, every time I go to Starbucks, there's just goddamn kid on the phone while I'm trying to get my drink.
All right.
Like, oh, he's always telling his friends, like, hey, guys, what's up? Let's talk. I'm still trying to get my goddamn frappuccino, you know?
I know this is probably a real dilemma for you, but when you complain in that angry young woman's voice of yours, do you get taken seriously, or is that why you need Adam? Because people, you don't seem terribly upset when you seem terrible. You seem like you might cry if the barista says, bite me.
No, it's just that I just woke up and I'm like really sleepy.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you should go to Starbucks, have your coffee, call back.
Yeah, and also there's these people who like are always on their laptop at Starbucks but never buy a single drink.
The people who set up their home office, you know, Rolodex, I got an 8-line phone on there.
Yeah.
Secretary.
Shredder.
Very important. The people that go up and set up camp at Starbucks, I find like first off, it's weird that you're conducting business while people are looking over your shoulder. But I must say, if I had a Starbucks, I would yell to everyone, look, drink your coffee and get the F out of here. Number one, I would put the F in Starbucks.
Right.
I would remove the B.
And make it right.
Gotcha. That's right. Which is keep moving.
Yeah.
The other one, though, if I owned a bookstore, I have never been in a bookstore, but if you walk down like Old Town in Pasadena, you'll pass by these bookstores with the whole glass front. And as you pass by the magazine aisle or the whatever aisle, you will see hundreds of people just camped out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they're waiting to buy tickets at midnight, except for they're just reading the magazine. Mm-hmm. I would have to have I'd put it on a loop in the intercom. But listen, you understand, here's how it works. A guy prints the magazines, we buy the magazines, then you come in and you buy it from us, yes. And then you take it the F home and read it. If you just read it here, then I'm essentially renting a space for you to read the magazine and then put it back on the rack with your greasy paw prints on it, and then you move on. You can thumb through it once to see if there's an article in it you're interested in, but then you need to put it down or you buy. You're reading the entire book or magazine while here turns my bookstore into one of those places they lend the book. What's that called?
Library.
Library. That's what it... I'm not running a library. You know why there's no private libraries? They don't make money. You know why the city has to pay for the... Yes, because it's where old people go to die. It's where homeless people get to stay busy during the day. I do not need your smart yet lazy ass camped out in the aisle of my magazines.
What do you think they made Starbucks for?
That's right.
That magazine have a place for you to read it.
That'd be awesome. They just combined a newsstand with a Starbucks to have the world's just people in this constant circling holding pattern. All right, where were we? T.
Yes.
The news. What's coming up in it?
Well, what in the world is going on at Ving Rhames' house?
What? Yeah, heard about this.
Trouble over there. We'll talk about that.
Oh, big time.
Huge news in baseball and YMCA. It turns out it is not about gays.
The song.
Yes.
Wow.
We'll take a, refuse to believe that. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
Here's another summer safety tip with the Deaf Frat Guy.
I'm Maverick, the Deaf Frat Guy, here to give you just the tip. Always check local forecast before going swimming. Lightning will always strike a body of water. One time Mike F's cousin got struck by lightning and he totally crapped his pants. He's okay, but now he says everything tastes like pennies.
Thanks, Mav. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Harry Shearer, one of the great comedy minds and mouse, waiting in the wings. But first, it's time for Teresa Strasser and the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
A 40-year-old caretaker at the Los Angeles area home of actor Ving Rhames, who you know from Mission Impossible and Pulp Fiction, was found dead on Friday after being attacked by at least two of Ving's enormous dogs. Police say the man, Jacob Adams, whose duties included actually taking care of the dogs, was found dead on the front lawn outside the gate of Rhames' property around 7 a.m. He had bites all over his arms and legs. It appears that he was attacked sometime during the night. He was able to get away and close the gate behind him before collapsing. When the police arrived, they found six dogs. Only four were running loose, three enormous bull mastiffs and one English bulldog. They say at least two of the bull mastiffs were involved in the attacks. And one police officer described the bull mastiffs as, quote, as big as lions in the circus. Mm. Normally, they're said to be very friendly dogs, and this man had been taking care of them for around 2 years. Authorities now aren't sure whether Adams died as a direct result of the attack or if the mauling caused him to suffer a heart attack or some other medical condition. The coroner should be doing an autopsy today.
Couple thoughts. First off, I got the scoop on this because someone in the Mommy and Me class was a neighbor of Ving Rhames and turned out to be give my wife and the nanny the scoop earlier that day,
right,
like at 11 in the morning. So when they came home, we had to do that guessing game,
right,
where it was like, one lady said that black guy from that movie. Was he in Mission Impossible? That's Tom Cruise. No, the black guy. There's a black guy in Mission. Yeah, he was his buddy. He was in the Purple Yard or the Green Mile. Or was he in the Green Mile? Is that that guy?
It's not that guy.
That's not that guy. No, that's not that
that's
guy.
That's the really, really
that
big black guy.
That guy's from Armageddon.
This is the second
this
biggest
this black
big guy. Black
guy.
Yeah.
This guy, he was in Pulp Fiction. He was the guy. So he did that.
Right.
So we did 20 minutes on who the black guy, the
right.
black guy from.
Right.
He's the bald
right.
one. Well, that guy's bald from Mission. No, the
Michael
guy.
Michael Jordan.
No. We did
Michael
that.
Clark Duncan.
Then the second hour we did on what a bull mastiff was.
Oh, right. No.
It's a big, it's like a St. Bernard, but it's black. No. That's a Newfoundland. No. The bull mastiff, it's like a, you start combining yeah. dogs and animals and zebras and stuff. 45 minutes on the color. Never mind the guy's lying dead on the lawn. We're talking about the guy from Mission Impossible. But
right.
what is it? Let me ask this. If you're Paul Abdul
yeah.
and you live alone,
yeah.
you should have a bull mastiff.
Right.
Because you are 5'2" and you have a few vertebrae that have been fused together.
Sure.
Right. If someone breaks in the house, You're this dead meat, right?
Yeah.
You're Paul Abdul, you're Paris Hilton, you name the single hot chick who's living alone, and I will name you the lapdog, which is being used as a weapon against them.
Right.
You could actually be raped with your own lapdog.
Right.
That would be a horrible news story.
I'm going to Google it and see if I can find
but
it.
But you can actually have your lapdog used on you
right.
if you're a single woman.
Right.
What is it about the biggest, blackest, scariest athletes or actors mm-hmm. who have the biggest, scariest dogs?
Yeah.
It's like Mike Tyson has the biggest security posse of anyone I know,
right.
except for there's no one I know who'd
sure.
want to get near Mike Tyson.
What if you want your dog to reflect you, like Paula Abdul has the little doggies?
There is a lot of that, and it's weird. To me, I don't want any animal reflecting me.
No.
Hey, look at that chimp. He looks just like Bonaducci or Corolla. Look at him going for his ass.
That's
look at him. He's a chimp off
like
the
you.
Old block.
Well,
can't tell him apart after a couple Zimas. Look, I want Paula Abdul with the bull mask.
Yeah.
Hopefully they turn on her.
Right.
And I went Ving Rhames with the lap dog.
Yeah.
That's the way it should work.
Now,
if I had my choice between Paula Abdul mm-hmm. and a large dog, or standing no more than 30 feet away from Paula Abdul and she has a gun,
mm-hmm.
I'd much rather she had the gun.
Oh, yeah.
That bitch couldn't hit you from the doorway, right?
She'd be looking at a blurry object. Eventually, she'd shoot herself.
Be like Rocky. There's three of them. We'll shoot the one in the middle.
Well, what would happen is her cell phone would ring. She would answer the gun and kill herself.
It's almost worth trying.
That's expensive roaming charges to the other side. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you met one of Ving Rhames' neighbors at Mommy and Me who gave you the scoop.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes?
I didn't go to
Come
Mommy
on,
and
puss,
Me.
Shut up.
Yes.
That Tessa. Stopped me it, dead in my tracks.
It's called Mommy and Me, not Mommy P-Whip and Me.
Right.
Not so Mommy Puss and Me, just Mommy and Me.
So Lynette met one of the neighbors. Now, one of the neighbors is speaking to the press. I don't know if it's the same neighbor, but there is a neighbor saying that Ving Rhames' dog, Bruno, had been playing with their children, and that the dog, though 200 pounds, was very friendly, not scary, but a 200-pound dog, I assume, weighs more than everyone in this room.
Yes, and the except for the picture of Bald Brian from high school, which is 235 pounds. He was a mess. Yeah, the Bull Mastiff, I think, is the breed that killed the lady in San Francisco.
Yes.
Remember, there was like an attorney, and they had the thing, and it was a horrible story.
That was a horrible story.
Yes, it's a wild animal, and maybe they're nice, but don't name your dog Bruno for this reason. Because people will start saying guilty before they even hear the story. Hey, there's a story that Bruno may have mauled guilty, put it to death. Yeah.
Skipper didn't do it.
Right.
But Bruno killed that guy.
Right.
Previously, Ving Rhames gave an interview in which he discussed one of the reasons why he loves his dog.
I get a dog over 200 pounds, I name it either Gandhi or Harriet Tubman.
Nice.
People have a lot of trouble believing. The Gandhi mauled a retarded child at the park. And then it's like, you're going to put Gandhi to death? You keep using the word Gandhi? You want to euthanize Gandhi?
No.
Okay.
Doesn't feel right. Well, he talked about his dogs and how when he's working on a new character, he tries out.
I wondered about that myself.
He tries out his new characters on the dogs.
Oh,
so
okay.
When he had to play Don King in the TV movie Only in America, he would work it out in front of the dog. He says, quote, dogs know when something's not right. I figure if I can fool them, then I've successfully changed my spirit. I changed my voice, my diction, my movement. And then I tested it on the dogs. The dogs started growling at me. That's a true story.
Mm.
Wow, I remember 30 seconds ago when I cared about that guy. Mm. Now he's just a dick.
Well, I hope the guy had a heart attack and it wasn't the dogs. I mean, he did have a heart attack, I guess.
Autopsy today, but he was definitely mauled by the dogs. Did he die from the mauling or from the ensuing heart attack when, four dogs?
Well, if you're 40 and you have a heart attack, something's up.
Probably right.
What if there's drugs involved?
It'll be very interesting to find that out today.
Because that was one of the best hits I ever saw. Remember the movie The Mechanic with Charles Bronson?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The way he killed this guy was he shot near him on a beach and said, it's a setup, run.
Right.
But he knew the guy had a weak ticker.
Ah.
So he never actually shot the guy, and the guy runs and dies of a heart attack on the beach, natural causes.
Ving Rhames is in Germany shooting a movie. He has yet to comment, and at this point he's not expected to be charged with a crime.
Mm.
In the world of sports.
He's the worst Ava Braun that's ever been cast. If you want to talk about just a horrible casting job.
Doesn't seem like he could pull it off.
He's got range, but I'm not sure if he's got that much.
Harriet Tubman, the dog, and Ving Rhames.
Well, if Ving Rhames rehearses his Ava Braun in front of the dogs, they'll know if he's pulling it off. And in the world of sports, it was a very, very big weekend. Lots of a landslide of landmarks, if you will. First, Barry Bonds. Tying Hank Aaron's home run record this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, after kind of a long stretch, here is the call from the local Fox Sports Net affiliate.
Here's the 2-1 pitch. Bonds hits it high and deep to left. Back is Hairston. Out of here! 7.55 for Barry Bonds. Is now tied with the great Hank Aaron.
I don't know what that ball's worth. The ball's going to be worth $1 million, maybe more. Depends how drunk Charlie Sheen gets before he goes on eBay.
Right.
But somebody threw a ball back onto the field from the area trying to pretend like we don't need your ball. It's a funny idea. Somebody brought a ball, and I guess they thought, wouldn't it be awesome? What a statement to throw Barry Bonds' ball back on the field. But they must mark them because they authenticate it.
Sure.
So there's some sort of, I don't know, water drop, something they put on there. I don't know what it is. They don't get into it. Maybe it's guarded. Maybe they don't want to get into it. But obviously every ball that is being used in a game where somebody has a record at stake has to have some sort of marking on it that the public isn't aware of that can't be reproduced.
Well, you would hope. Yes. I mean, they'll get your $100 bill with your watermark, your transparency, your hologram. I mean, it's a whole big deal. You're dealing with a thin piece of paper. You're dealing with cowhide
for
baseball. I'm sure you could mark it any way you want.
Bald Brian has information.
A buddy of mine from high school caught a 700th home run ball and sold it for $800,000 on an auction.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
$800,000.
$800,000.
Just for being a round number, meaning he didn't break anyone's record at 700.
Yep.
669, 701, not worth nearly as much, right?
Bonds at that time, the third guy only to hit 700 home runs. So some round number, yeah.
Yeah.
The next one's $800,000.
Wow.
Just happened to be the guy caught it.
Well, I don't know how much this ball is worth, but A-Rod hit one out of the park for his 500th home run on Saturday.
Not to digress, but if Barry's 700th was worth $800,000, 755, I mean, the one that ties the record, the all-time record, has got to be worth three times that much easily.
And I would think the next one that beats the record is going to be outlandish.
Well,
as if the other ones weren't.
Yeah, I mean, if that one's eight, if Bald Brian's buddies is eight, and the next one's two, three times that much, the tying one, then that has to be $5 million.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Scary.
Huge. Anyway, A-Rod hit his 500th home run on Saturday in the Yankees' 16-8 home victory over Kansas City.
Faster than any other 30. He's the only guy to be under 33 to hit 500 home runs.
That's
he did it faster than Bonds. So all you Bonds haters out there, there's a guy who's not juiced, allegedly, who seems like a pretty decent guy who seems like he, if he stays healthy, will catch Bonds.
What's the world's coming to when you have to use the word allegedly when complimenting a guy?
I know, sad.
Well, as you pointed out, he is the youngest player in Major League history to reach the mark at 32 years and 8 days. Here's what A-Rod had to say.
You know, when I was 24, I never thought about 500, and I'm not going to start thinking about what my destination is. I have a tremendous passion to play winning baseball and play baseball the right way. And, you know, again, to put on this uniform and to do it, just take it one step at a time. And, you know, the good Lord will lead my path, and hopefully that's somewhere special.
How did Def Frat Guy get a baseball record? Did you and that guy?
An athlete talking about the dear Lord and taking it one game at a time. Never heard of that before.
You think he lacks dynamism? Wait till you hear Tom Glavine. Now, Tom Glavine is a Mets pitcher. He won his 300th career game also over this weekend. And I think we have some Glavine.
Yeah. Well, I guess it was time to at least show a little bit of emotion about it or be happy about it or be feel somewhat fulfilled by it, you know. I mean, it's hard. You know, you're trying obviously during this whole thing for me personally not to get ahead of myself, not talk too much about today before I had gotten here.
Yeah. Tom Glavine.
Mr. Personnel, which is known in the clubhouse. Yes.
Let me get to this quickly. I have shocking news to report. It could devastate the gay community.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm straight.
I have to inform you about Danny Straight. Victor Willis, the original the original front man, the police officer in the Village People.
Mm.
He's now been drug-free for over a year. He's writing his autobiography, and over the weekend...
It's called What You Talking About.
He's talking about Victor Willis. Over the weekend, his publicist dropped a bomb on us.
Mm.
YMCA.
You dropped a bomb on me is a totally different song.
Mm,
YMCA.
Yes.
The song that brings such joy to sorority girls, gay men, and middle-aged housewives at weddings. It is not a gay song.
Wrong.
Willis is saying now that he wrote this song about heterosexual good times that take place at the YMCA.
Wrong! Young man.
But what about in the Navy? Surely still gay.
No comments on in the Navy. He's saying when he says hang out with the boys, he's talking about the boys, the fellas. And it's been taken out of context, and then it's ambiguous. But he wants you to know that this is about heterosexual fun between the fellas.
Okay, that's all code. here's my fella, and here are the boys. Okay?
Right.
Have you ever heard a girl say, I brought the girls with me, or the twins are out tonight?
Right. Yes.
Okay, here's my fella, these are the boys, and we're going out tonight. And wow, we've had so much fun with other fellas. It's code for sword fighting.
In a related story, George Thorogood mentioned over the weekend that Bad to the Bone was, in fact, a gay song.
Ah!
Yeah. It was about explicit gay sex. That would be my move. I want all the straight artists to get out there and now say their songs were about gay-themed music. Yes.
This just in, Ted Nugent says Cascade Rat Fever's about vegetarianism.
That's right.
All right. Well, in closing...
Wait a minute. Yes. There's one more story here.
Oh, yes. I didn't think we had time, but...
No, we always got time. Stripper gives lamp dance.
Oh, this is a good story.
I want to hear about that.
Last Thursday night, 46-year-old man in Florida, your favorite state, had a stripper come to his house for a private dance. I didn't even know you could do that. Apparently in Florida and probably everywhere else you can. The stripper was a 25-year-old named Carnisha. She went over to the man.
I added her to my coffee this weekend.
Funny, I added her to my car collection.
Definitely not a Jew.
Carnisha. Carnisha started giving this man named Daniel his lap dance.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, she turned and faced away from him for about 20 seconds, bent over, and asked, quote, "Do you like this, baby?"
Mm-hmm.
When he didn't respond, she turned around, concerned. She saw him passed out unconscious on the couch. Carnisha had taken CPR in high school, so she jumped into action. She started giving him...
Stuck his wall down. First thing you do.
Just to make sure it wasn't epilepsy. Right. So she had something to jump in his mouth.
Well, she called 911, and then she kept him alive, giving him CPR until the paramedics could get there and start him breathing on his own. The police think that Daniel passed out because he was on the oxycodone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is.
Oxycodone?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oxycodone, which is the hillbilly heroin.
Yeah.
You mean Oxycontin?
No. Codone.
Oxycodone is what they're calling it.
It's a relative.
Yeah, I think it's a cousin.
Right.
So when he woke up, he told the cops that this oxycodone is for kidney pain.
Mm-hmm.
He has the kidney stones. And then he said he passed out because Carnisha gave him an unknown pill wrapped in a towel. Seems a bit of an ingrate when she saved his life.
Well, he's pissed off about the herpes.
Plus, you don't eat the towel. You just take the pill.
That might have been the problem.
Yes.
Well, Carnisha,
he couldn't breathe.
Carnisha says she never offered him the pills. She told cops that this man, Daniel, was her friend. She learned CPR, not in high school, but in fourth grade, and that she dances part-time to help pay for college.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the stage, Carnisha. Mom was drunk and staring at a coffee additive container when she named her. Hey, all you guys with pacemakers, move up the edge of the stage. She'll hit you with the paddles and bring you right back to life. She could be a pill wrapped in a bar towel. Jade, stage four, stage one. Sorry. Yeah, Carnisha. Yeah, what a... She gives him CPR.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of chicks would have just cleaned out the wallet, cleaned out the refrigerator, and hit the road. She gives the guy CPR, and then he rats her out to the cops.
I know.
Yeah.
What a puss.
What a punk. Totally.
Yeah, she was just trying. First, she gave him a lap dance, then CPR.
First of all, let's just imagine that she's naked at this point.
Yes.
Turns around, bends over, and asks, "Do you like this baby?"
Mm. Yeah.
I can see a reasonably healthy man passing out.
Right.
Forgetting Oxycontin or Oxycodone or whatever it is. When you're getting that particular wink, I can see this going, especially if you're a guy in need of a stripper at your house.
Mm.
You know, if you're that guy and then you get that wink, you just got to go, and hit the dirt. I can just see it. The fact that she didn't bail and kept this guy alive, how do you rat that chick out? How do you not just go, thanks?
Yeah, right. Her last words he heard was, "Pull my finger," and that was enough to send him over the edge.
Well, arguably, it'd be nice if all strippers and lap dancers learned CPR so that they could help out.
The more you know.
At the box office, the third Bourne movie, The Bourne Ultimatum, number one, was 70.2 million. Jeez. Simpsons movie number two, and Underdog number three. I'm Teresa Strasser. And that is the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. QCNN.
Well, speaking of the Simpsons movie, which I believe made 70 and change last weekend.
Up to 129 million.
Crazy, crazy talk. Harry Shearer, the arguably the most valuable cast member. That's right. Yeah. Even above Dan Castellaneta, who plays Homer, because he does so many voices on that show. The great Harry Shearer in studio next.
Harry Shearer on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you again, Harry.
Good to see you. I have to tell you, the dog in the earlier murder case was not a mastiff. It was a Presa Carnario.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the great thing about that story was the judge wouldn't allow into evidence in the court trial evidence of the sexual interaction between the dog's owners and the dog.
This is the San Francisco story.
Yep.
Yeah, there was this crazy story.
There's a Presa Carnario, which is a dog, I think, from the Canary Islands.
The guy.
Why do I know that?
Because you're a genius, that's why.
Yeah.
And you know what people don't. That's what makes you a genius, or don't care to know, actually,
that's correct.
More precise.
Well, they're busy.
Yeah, there was some attorneys that lived in some apartment in San Francisco.
A crappy apartment, which leads me to believe they weren't great attorneys.
They got a dog from an inmate,
I
believe.
Right. Yeah.
And they had the dog in their apartment. It's one of those things where, you know, maybe you can have a dog in your apartment, but once the dog gets over 300 pounds, it now becomes a pet horse at a certain point.
You need a stable, not an apartment.
Yeah, use the same math where the hot chick gets to bring the lap dog onto the plane because technically it's a dog, but it weighs 8 pounds. Right. It's not really a dog. Once your dog gets over 300 pounds, it becomes a Clydesdale at that point, and it killed some woman in the hall. But there's a whole story about a sexual relationship between the owner of the dog and the dog.
Sweet.
I found it almost as interesting that two attorneys picked the "she was asking for it" defense. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They said she had it coming.
She may have been on her cycle or something, which was part of the deal that the dog... I don't know. It is one of those only in San Francisco stories or possibly parts of Florida.
I think it's a lover spurned kind of thing.
That's right.
I mean, here's the only thing worse. The only thing worse than, hey, your daughter's going to be brought up on murder charges because her pet killed a neighbor. You want to know how it gets worse?
Yeah.
There's a whole part of the trial that involves the sexual relationship she had with the dog.
But we won't tell that to the jury because that might prejudice them.
Right.
That's right.
This was, I remember, okay, the woman was Diane Whipple. Mm-hmm. Remember, doesn't that name bring up a... And she was who was killed. She was a lacrosse coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just gets better.
All right. Well,
the lacrosse team from Chile that ate each other. Nothing good happens involving lacrosse.
No, but that was soccer.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought it was soccer, but I don't think it is. But I wouldn't be willing to fight over it.
All right. Good. Because I'd get hurt and then you'd lose. I'd have what you call a moral victory. Harry Shearer in studio. Songs pointed and pointless. I was listening to Le Show the other day.
Yeah. Not during the pledge drive.
The most annoying Jewish women on the planet saying, for the price of a cup of coffee, you can keep our station alive for 600 years.
And you're saying,
is it worth it to you?
You're saying I'd rather have the coffee?
I'll take the coffee.
Make me up more.
No, I was listening to Le Show, which is Harry's weekend show, which is marvelous and amazingly produced. I was listening to it, my little earbuds, with my little Walkman in the... Osh in Van Nuys, in essentially the Orchard Hardware Supply, whatever, in Van Nuys.
That may be one of the best Oshes around.
Well, as I was walking through it, I thought to myself, I'll bet you I'm the only dude in here who's listening to the show. Seen a lot of guys wearing wrestling shirts and cutoff sweats arguing with their wives about outdoor lighting. And I thought, I bet.
You're the one.
The one guy in this Osh that's listening to Harry. But
You go over to Home Depot and I got that demo locked.
Oh, yeah. It is a little hipper than most of the people that do the home improvements listen to. But how long have you been doing it? And
24 years.
And somebody said you don't get paid to do that.
Somebody who was in the pledge drive said that.
Was that it?
Yeah, there's it.
He doesn't even get paid to do this show.
Yeah, no, because I figured out, you know, your slogan here is free FM.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I figured out the only way to be really free is if they're not paying you any money, then they can't tell you anything.
The show involves a ton of work. If you listen to Harry's radio show, there are all the great voices and the pre-production and bits that are put together. I mean, anyone who's worked in radio or any business knows how much time it takes to assemble and craft something like that. The fact that you do it for free is amazing to me.
Well, but, you know, I started because I don't do stand-up, and I needed a place to, as the comics say, work out and without the drunks, without the interaction of
Do you do it humans. At a home-based studio?
Yeah, I have my own studio. So.
Oh, so you're able to do it when you want to do it at your leisure, as they say.
Yeah, but it really is like, you know, what for a lot of other guys stand-up would be. It's, you know, create new characters and force yourself to write every week and stuff like that.
And, you know, the characters, as it struck me, well, Harry does a lot of political stuff, unlike LeShow, and he'll do the voice of, I don't know, Tip O'Neill, or he'll do the...
Well, let's get somebody who's alive, Al Gore.
Right. Al Gore, I know what he sounds like. You see, I'll be listening to the show listening to the show, and I'll be like, yeah, man, this guy does a spot-on Scooter Libby, and then I'll think, I have no idea what Scooter Libby sounds like.
Right.
That's smart.
Yeah. Can you do
I get
like,
why you're a genius.
But on the other hand, that way you can't be checked, you know? The audience has to take you on faith. You know?
No one ever says that sounds nothing like Scooter Libby.
I know, just talked to Scooter. He's a friend of mine.
Your Teddy Roosevelt is the best I've ever heard. Yeah, that's the only one.
Harry Shearer in studio. We need to take a break. We will come back. I would love to ask Harry about the Simpsons movie, because I'm not it seems to me that there's some bad blood, or the Simpsons voices aren't fans of the Simpsons movie,
Harry,
or something. Did Harry make a puss?
A little.
All right. Remember, you're an artist. You're here to express yourself.
I didn't sign any oaths.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Harry Shearer next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
More with Harry Shearer on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, Spinal Tap. You know, think about the best thing you could say, the highest compliment I think I could pay a movie is when I'm just flipping around and I hit it, do I stay with it?
Right.
Spinal Tap, not shown enough on cable for my money. I see it once in a while, but I don't see it on heavy rotation.
Yeah.
When I run into Spinal Tap, I watch from that point to the end of Spinal Tap because it's such a great movie. Everything is, I don't want to change. I'm going to miss Fred Willard at the Air Force Base. I don't want to miss it. I'm going to miss Spinal, you know, Puppet Show and Spinal Tap over at the Six Flags. I'm going to miss the part where she says doubly instead of Dolby or whatever it is. I just want to stay with it. And then the highest compliment you can give out to a movie is if you're skipping around and you stumble on it on cable, but not on one of the premiere channels, like Showtime.
Through the 10 minutes
it's
of commercials.
On, yes, it's on TNT.
Yes.
And not only are there commercials, it's edited.
Yeah.
They've edited out. They've turned everything, every time Jackie Gleason says son of a bitch into scumbum, and you still stay with Smoking the Bandit. That is the mark of a great movie, that's what I did with Spinal Tap.
If you're watching on TNT, you're also having to put up with all the little animated promos at the bottom of the screen.
Yes, that's annoying. Yeah.
Good Lord. You're watching their damn channel, and they're still hyping you.
There's a second movie going on underneath.
Yes, I agree. I'm already watching your network. Yeah.
What more do you want?
Stop watching.
Watch it twice.
Yeah, it's like the cereal boxes with advertising on them. I bought the damn product. Leave me alone.
I think I can, not to try and top Mr. Carolla, but I may have a compliment you'll take in good spirit. How long ago was Spinal Tap made?
23 years ago.
My daughter is 12 currently, and her 12th birthday was a Spinal Tap party.
Wow.
And the bit was because she used to go to 11. And they all dressed up. They all dressed up as you guys.
Oh, wow.
And we took them in a limousine to the Rainbow and brought them home and showed them Spinal Tap.
Oh, that's very cool.
And all the 12-year-olds flipped out that it was the greatest movie ever.
Oh, man.
Except the five of them, which is probably 50%, who had seen it already several times.
Wow.
Your bat mitzvah was a Spinal Tap themed bat mitzvah, wasn't it?
Well, it was Mime is Money, and we all dressed as Mime. And that was how I did my Haftorah.
That's a good
smell
way to,
the gloves.
Good way to become a grown-up.
I will say that I do have many songs on my iPod from Spinal Tap, and you do get a lot of cred from men. So if you're female, you should load your iPod up with songs even if you don't care for them.
Well, can I ask you this, Harry Shearer?
Yo.
As far as Spinal Tap goes, everyone looks at it as, it's a funny novelty band. On the other hand, everyone knows somebody, themselves, who has a Spinal Tap CD. Yeah. Is this a novelty band that sold 10 million records?
Oh, I wish. No, I don't think so. But you're delving into the business side of the band, which is murky at best. But hey, you know, we may be a novelty band, but we followed Metallica at Live Earth. You know, we had some balls to do that.
Man. I heard as well. I didn't see it, but somebody told me that it was great. You got all the bass players out.
All the bass players from all the other bands that didn't have to leave already, because a lot of them had other gigs, but every other bass player in the house was out there with us when we did Big Bottom at Live Earth. Yeah, 17, nice. 17 bass players on stage.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, what fun. Harry Shearer's got a new CD, which is coming out tomorrow, Songs Pointed and Pointless. What can we find on that CD?
It's songs about, the pointed songs are about politics. There's a Beach Boys type song about America's newest form of enhanced interrogation called Waterboarding USA. George Bush sings You're Addicted to Oil. There's a little history of the last 6 years called Connect the Dots, sung as by my wife Judith Owen, as sort of a Shirley Bassey kind of James Bond theme. Ooh. And then there are some pointless songs, like there's a Folksman song left out of Mighty Wind called Corn Wine.
You know, yes, one of those, Mighty Wind. Forgot about that one. Yeah.
That's one of those folk songs where the guys do this and the women do that. And if they could just get together, we'd all have a thing. And so the corn and the wine, if they just got together. And I thought that was the stupidest kind of thing to imagine. And I was looking for the lyrics when we were sitting down to do the record. And I Googled corn wine, and the first 8 hits were 8 recipes for corn wine.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't make up anything more stupid than people do.
How do you have time to do this?
Googling.
What do you mean it saved so much? This all together then do it?
It was the record was recorded in L.A. and New Orleans last spring, and then we're going to do a live show at the House of Blues Wednesday night. We're actually proving that I sing the song. So
nice.
Yeah.
I know you don't take requests or assignments, but here's something I don't have enough talent or time to do, but you have both. And I think you might be able to pull this one off, which is you like song parodies. I always wanted to do a sort of parody of those Big John songs, like Big John, because they always border on homoerotic. Like
border.
He was broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip, and everyone knows you don't give no lip to Big John. He comes from the center of Louisiana, man, to the promised land and all that. All these stories about guys being big and strapping and tall, but just take it a little step further into the homoerotic. Starting off as sort of that tribute song to, you know, he was a steel driving man, and it's somewhere around halfway point.
He starts driving something else.
He's so big he couldn't be missed. He just loved to take that fist, Big John.
What?
Yeah. Whoa.
I don't remember that part.
Oh, no, I remember clearly. No lights, no nothing. Cool.
Harry Shearer, the songs are Songs Pointed and Pointless. Quickly before, because I know you got to tie it out, the Simpsons movie.
Yes, sir.
Is there a rift, a problem, a situation? Do the folks that do the voices not appreciate or feel like they're being compensated enough? What is the situation?
Not that I know of.
Everything's cool?
Everything's copacetic, baby. We're number one last week. Now we're number two.
Made $70 million last week. Now, does everybody...
Yeah, it broke the $120 million box.
Do people get just, here's your money to do the movie, or do you get a piece of the movie?
Piece of the movie, what would that be like?
That would be like...
Percentage of the box office?
Here's how the piece works.
Yeah.
They make $70 million the first weekend. Yeah. You ask them where my 2% is, and they say, we didn't make any profit.
That's
how the piece works.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that would be an interesting premise.
But that doesn't work that way.
I think if everybody in the civilized world sees the movie only 400 more times, I get a waffle iron.
Would you say that you're fairly and fully compensated for your work on The Simpsons?
Am I under oath at this moment?
You see that Zach Braff is making, you know, $4 million an episode doing Scrubs, and you're like, hey, we're The Simpsons, where's our scratch? And they're saying, well, this is an animated show, and you're going, well, we're a primetime sitcom, we're the actors in it, where's our money? As a matter of fact, not even one part, but in the case of Harry Shearer's, 10 parts.
I will finish up by just telling you the lovely story of when we hit our 400th episode on television. Mm-hmm. And I got a big box, you know, with a card at the top saying,
it's got to be a great present
from your friends at Fox, which is always a good warning sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you got friends at Fox, you're a, you know,
yeah.
Call the Wall Street Journal quick. And so
open, hi, Uncle Rupi.
Open the big box, you know, wrapping, styrofoam popcorn. Get to the bottom. There's a, like a little box. Okay. Well, it's probably more valuable because it's little.
Keys to a new charity.
Yeah. That's something. It's the least they can do
up
for you.
A pleather script binder.
What?
Not even leather.
Not leather.
What?
Pleather.
I swear to God.
Yes, Naugahyde.
Absolutely.
No.
But because somebody there thought that might not be good enough, they also included inside two old scripts.
Sure.
Just, you know, because we could go to eBay and sell those.
Right. The,
unbelievable.
I'm disgusted right now. I'm disgusted.
True story, ladies and gentlemen.
I would argue no gift better than insulting.
Exactly.
Gift.
Right. Exactly right.
You know what Disney did for...
It's the thought. The thought was, screw you.
Robin Williams got paid almost nothing to do Aladdin. He did it. He said he did it for his kids and stuff like that. But then when it broke $200 million, they gave him a Picasso.
Mm. Yeah.
Didn't you, if you knew that story in advance, I don't know if you did.
I didn't know that story.
You, like, expect there might be a Picasso
No,
in
but
there?
I knew the story of the cast of Will and Grace.
I knew that, too. They all got cars.
They all got cars at the beginning of the second season.
We don't know that Picasso never crafted a pleather binder.
That's true.
We don't know his full history.
Picasso did a lot of work in pleather.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Harry. It wouldn't be an appearance without just a shot of Mr. Burns. Could you just throw us to break with a little little Burns?
Yes, I will, Adam. With these sincerely felt words, you're all fired.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. It's another Music Monday. This time around, personal theme songs. Music Monday brought to you by Sounds of Hornitos Tequila, alerting you to prepare for this year's live all-summer Battle of the Bands. Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
What the hell? Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, before we start Music Mondays, I just want to remind everybody, you can come out with me and play On Your Hog. That's code for Harley Davidson. I do it with the Carolla Show all the time, with the Bonaducci's Bagels and the Nicole Richie Baby Basket. Which, by the way, Adam. People Magazine called about.
Oh. Yeah. What'd they say?
Well, first of all, they kept asking me what was in it. I don't know what you guys put in it. So I just said nice stuff, and we wouldn't kid about such a wonderful experience.
Yeah, true.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah, it was not a gag gift.
Okay,
it was
good,
really a baby
gift.
Because
I stuck to my guns on
that.
Good.
Brian made a number two in it. But
anyway, if you want to come ride with me on my Harley, all you got to do is sign up. Just go to, it's all bought to you by the hit number one comedy, Hog, starring Tim Allen and Martin Lawrence. Just go to adamcarolla.com and sign up. We'll go riding.
Good times. All right. It is Monday, thus Music Monday. We stumbled on to this week's theme. I believe it was last week when I had mentioned that I wouldn't want this song playing. Or maybe I said I would want this song playing. Yes, I want this song playing. See, back in the day, kiddies, people had songs. And they played those songs when the celebrity came on to The Tonight Show.
Sure.
And when they hit the stage in
Absolutely.
Vegas and whatever it was. They don't really have that anymore. Brad Pitt doesn't have a song.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt's Brad Pitt, but he doesn't have a song.
Right.
Like smoking and boozing, celebrities had songs, and when they would come out and Johnny Carson would go, hey, welcome Dean Martin, they'd play his song.
Yeah.
Right. I want to bring that back. I want my song. We stumbled onto this last week. We were talking about it and thought it'd be a good theme for this week's Music Monday, which was songs you do want playing when you enter the party, the game show, whatever. There's a room full of people.
Yeah.
It is time for you to enter. What song do you want fired up as that door opens and you walk into the room versus the worst possible song for that situation? 866-901-ADAM. We'll hear yours. We'll start with my first song. Little Dick Dale for you. Surf beat to it. Little Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Can't argue with the song and puts people in a festive mood.
Right. It's upbeat.
But what's it say about you? Is it slick and fast?
Yeah, it's got a... I'm trying to think of what it conjures in people's minds.
It swings so quick that, and maybe it's my personal relationship, that's what I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to this guy, it's going to move fast.
And then the crazy horns kick in at a certain point. I think it's now. Now is when you start chatting up the ladies.
Right.
During the trumpet interlude. Who knows? You may have already had sex with three of them.
By now.
Still standing in the threshold.
Right.
Did that fast. All right. Now, here's a song that pops to everyone's mind, but I still don't want it playing when I walk in. I miss this song. Joe Jones, 1960.
You talk too much.
Yeah. You can't play that thing on this
one. You even worry, my pet.
Okay, you know how on Letterman, when Paul Schaefer chooses a song for when the guest walks out, mm-hmm. and a lot of times it's very clever and it takes you a second.
Mm-hmm.
If this one came on for you, it would be pretty funny.
If it came on for me, I'd be embarrassed. Because it's just too accurate.
I think it's cute.
This is back when black singers sung about chicks who either talked too much or had skinny legs.
Oh, that was bad then. Can you imagine?
Like those skinny legs back then.
If they had to write a song about Nicole Richie.
Talk too much.
So what do we have? What's, are we into the 60s?
Yes, 50s? We've made our way. We did 62.
Okay.
And 1960, but we're jumping way ahead to 1984. We're springboarding ahead to just 23 years ago, if you're listening, Jack Silver, for another one on the happy side of the entrance. Thinking about me sweeping the leg and the old Valley Karate Tournament.
This would be great because it's a little campy, but it's still kind of upbeat.
It's people in a good mood, yeah.
If you want to go on the tour of this song, it's a real karate school on Lancashire.
That's right.
Cobra Kai. All right. Understood the history repeats itself part where this guy moved from New Jersey to the San Fernando Valley and entered his very first karate tournament, the All Valley Karate Tournament. Not Daniel's son hasn't been the winner 6 years running in the All Valley. This is his first tournament. So the part where he goes, history repeats itself. Never quite understood how that applied to a young Machio.
Uh-oh. You're the only one I know has a personal theme song they don't get.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a one lyric. I like the general vibe. All right, let's go to one I definitely don't want playing when I enter the party.
But where are the clowns?
Judy Collins.
Sending the clowns.
I never want this playing, and I'm done with my sentence.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Bill Gibson is a clown. What else do you need to know?
Yeah, I feel like this would bum everyone out at the party.
Yeah. It's bumming everybody out here.
All right. Just want you to feel it.
It's slightly insulting to be called a clown if you're a comedian as well.
Yeah, talk too much and a clown.
Yeah.
Carrot Top.
Right, he's a clown.
Yeah, it's not fair either.
Now a song. Isn't it queer? We don't need that part in there either. Now one that, well, it's one of my favorites. It's had a bit of a renaissance.
Oh, yeah.
Always loved this song. Always been my karaoke song. And somehow it popped up on American Idol a few years back.
Yeah.
And then I think it showed up on some Chevy commercial or something.
Well, was Bo Bice singing this?
I think he was, yeah. This feels, anytime you have horns going, it sort of literally trumpets your arrival.
I don't see how anything can be a better theme song for you because you love vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You love horns.
Right, and people can help me with my backup. They go, love you. media hold the mic out. Everyone wants a hammock. Right. And then this part. We got to hear the audience participation here.
Right now, I'm sure you know, help me. I love you.
Love you.
Need you.
Need you.
What you got to have your child?
Great God.
And the great part about vehicles, the very last one, he goes, great God in heaven, you know why. He just does, he slows all day. They used to end songs. Now they just kind of, the DJ must just pot them down or something. He used to end it with a ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum. All right, that's enough.
Wow. If you're searching for the talent that Carolla does not possess, now you know.
There it is. There it wasn't. All right. So good and bad songs to enter to theme songs, if you will.
Right.
T, what do you got? Yeah, give me a good.
Okay, let's take a listen. It speaks for itself.
The Seeker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little known Who song, but...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Great. Well, everything that comes out of Who is great.
It's festive, and I like the message. I like it. I would like to be thought of as a seeker.
Call her the Seeker.
Yeah. I'm looking for my therapist's office. I'm looking for meaning. Looking for news.
Yeah.
Think of as the Sikhs, and I just can't see you dressed like that with the turban and the veils and stuff.
They call me the Quaker. That'd be another one. Beard, no mustache. Yeah, good song.
Mennonite wouldn't work. Seeker's the one to go with.
This is good. I could picture myself if I ever had a career coming out on Letterman to this.
Mm. Good stuff, Danny.
Yes, sir.
Give us your entry.
Okay, I had a bunch. Because we don't ever talk about these, I get afraid that somebody else is going to pick mine. So I give lots of options on the ones I like. If I get them. And this one I thought was a really good choice, and apparently I was agreed with. Anybody?
Sounds like a Doors song.
It is indeed, sir.
Just sounds like the Doors.
Wild
Child. Oh.
Ah.
Is this live?
I don't know if this version is live. The one I picked from off Amy's Walkman that I chiseled out of granite was not live.
Lyrically, this works. But Why Are the Doors kind of a bummer sounding? When you know, the party kind of goes down when you hear this.
Well, there were, like I said, I sent choices, too. It could have been Iggy Pop's I'm Not Like Everybody Else.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that...
it's Wild Child. Here comes the Wild Child.
It suits you.
They have such a sound, such a distinctive sound to them. You really know this song very well, but it just sounded, felt like the Doors. All right, let me give you a bad before we take a break. And then we'll give you all our number ones in the good and the bad department. We have yours as well. Here's a song. I don't want this playing when I enter the party.
Air Supply?
Yes. It's really like a band set out to be gay.
Yeah.
And I don't mean homosexual.
Right.
I mean gay. Like when you say those jeans look so gay.
Right.
I'm gay.
I mean, it's really like Air Supply were performance artists out of the Bay Area and said, we have to create the world's gayest band. And they said, well, they're the Village People and they're going to be pretty hard to top. And they said, well, speaking of top.
Yeah. Some of them aren't that hard to top.
I'm not one. We're not gay. We will be gayer than the Village People without ever lying down with a man.
Gay!
We will be gay. We will be gay in a way that transcends homosexuality. First, we'll call ourselves Air Supply.
Right.
That's number one. Then we're going to write this song. All right, I don't want this song playing. On the other hand, I haven't heard it in a while.
I'm enjoying it. You are gay.
All right, I can't help it. If I was driving and this song came on the radio, I don't know that I would change it.
You know what I like? Making love out of nothing at all.
It's called masturbation.
That's a good hair supply song.
Uh-oh, here it goes. Big crescendo. All right, I like this song.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
Why don't you stop talking for a while? I couldn't be here.
We'll take ourselves a break. We will come back with our number one entrance songs on the good and the bad side, plus yours as well, next on a Music Monday.
Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show, brought to you by Sounds of Hornitos Tequila, alerting you to prepare for this year's live all-summer Battle of the Bands. Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. More with Adam, Danny, and Teresa and their personal theme songs. What's yours? Call 866-901-ADAM. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Well, entry songs, good and bad. I have my number one. T and Danny have their number one, good and bad. First, my bonus. I got a bonus.
Round?
I got a bonus bad song to enter a party to.
This is great. Was a freedom rider. She didn't care if
the theme song from Maude.
Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really could. Here's a door over the first bra burner. Ain't you glad she showed up?
About burning bras and riding horses naked.
Betsy Ross got it all sold up.
And then there's Maud.
Then there's Maud.
It's back when they had good theme songs, but.
And then there's Maud.
And then there's Maud. Never understood what he said here.
That uncompromising, enterprising, anything but tranquilizing.
I think they're all words I didn't know the meaning of when I was eight.
Tranquilizing.
Yeah.
Anything but tranquilizing.
Right.
Right.
I was once asked in a job interview, seriously, which of the Golden Girls I would be if I were a Golden Girl. And my whether or not I got this job depended on my answering this.
I'd have answered Ja Rule and probably been wrong, right?
Well, I said, I wish I was Blanche, but I'm really more like B. Arthur.
Welcome to Hot Dog on a Stick, Keith.
Yeah.
Get your horrible Stewardess outfit from 963 and start churning that lemonade.
That's how I got it.
All right, T, give us your number one good before we hear your bad.
Oh, my good.
Oh, are we going good then bad?
No, bad then good.
Oh, bad then good.
Okay,
sorry, all right. Give us the bad.
You might be thinking this when I walk into a room, but I don't want to reinforce it through the majesty of song.
Crazy.
I'm
crazy for feeling.
You know what's funny?
So lonely.
I had this and turned to Amy and said, nope, I'm going to leave it for Teresa. And here it is. I swear to God, I had that conversation.
There were so many good, you know, bad ones. Mm-hmm. Like this or.
There's a billion of them.
People Are Strange or anything to do with Fat Bottom.
Right.
Baby Got Back.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really poignant.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a bummer that I knew. I actually started. I said, I can't use it. Teresa's got it. I know she does.
Thank you for saving it for me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, I saved I Fought the Law for you,
yeah,
but you didn't take it.
Wow. Very generous.
Yeah. I know.
All right, that's the bad. Danny, give us your number one, the bad department.
Okay, this one's the number one bad department because it's accurate. It's not what I don't want to hear. It's just the way I felt for
Beatles?
A good portion of this weekend.
Day after day.
Mm-hmm.
Alone on the hill. The man with the food.
On Saturday, my daughter was still not speaking to me because she saw that I got Amy tattooed on my arm on MySpace rather than being told. Babe, I have Dr. Tadoff on my left arm the size of Wyoming. I put people's names on me all the time on the Yellow Pages.
What's wrong with communicating with your child through MySpace?
Right, exactly.
You
I
can
never
tell her
crossed my
a
mind.
Lot of things.
But she wouldn't speak to me. My wife's leaving me, and I turned to Amy, and I said, do you ever feel like you've wasted your whole life? And she looks at me, and she goes, I'm a 25-year-old school teacher. No.
Yeah.
I just thought, well, I hate your guts, and I feel this way.
She's only wasted the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Probably the next 8 to 10.
Oh, she's got weeks left. Are you kidding me? Her name's on me.
So, Fool on the
Fool
Hill.
Fool on the Hill, and it's bad because it accurately represented me the way I felt this weekend. Just what a loser.
I will, we have your suggestions. I have my good song. It's my number two. My number one, still waiting on, but the number two, I love this song. And by the way, This is bacon on bacon. It's like you love bacon.
Yeah.
How about a bacon sandwich with a bun that tastes like bacon and a tomato that was grown inside a pig? You know what I mean? I love Lord Sitar, and I love The Who. And this is a guy wailing on a sitar playing The Who. But just imagine the door flies open. Little smoke for ambiance, and this song kicks in. I step in right here.
People in the other room, grow us here.
You hear that sitar fire up, you know the Ace Man's entered the party. I don't know when I discovered this song, but I love this song, and I love this version of it. Sling the jacket over the shoulder, leather jacket, and I'm doing that thing where I'm looking over the top of my glasses and recognizing people as I'm strolling through the party, and here I spin around a little high five here.
Where does the winking come in with that clicking sound?
It's a succession of winks right now. That's just quick winks everywhere.
Head nod.
Making my way to the bar. Ironically, the DJ spinning this gives me the nod from up top. He's on the raised booth. He's doing that thing with the headphones where he can't fully commit to putting them on, so he just puts them on one ear. Really? Too big a commitment to put them on your head? You gotta just do the one ear, you gotta leave the other ear open. What else are you doing? You're making a call, and you just put the goddamn headphones
on. You're a disc jockey, for Christ's sake.
And by the way, don't think I don't know who pioneered the one-hand headphone move. That was none other than Keith Partridge.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, but Gary hit it about the same time, All right. T, give us something bad.
I only have something good.
Oh,
left.
Wait a minute. I flipped it around again. Yes, give us something good.
I love this one. I'm not even exactly sure why, but I would love this to be a theme song.
You're at the party. The door flings open. Get smart theme?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Wow, it started.
It's weird.
It started weird. It's not the one I'm familiar
it's
from,
not the one from the show.
Yeah.
It's a version.
It's cool.
It is cool.
Pretty cool. You know how
it's a cool jazz version of it. Yeah.
And you know how I have the circle of privacy where I can't talk about things if my boyfriend doesn't want me to.
They had
the cone of silence.
Cone of silence, absolutely.
And Agent 99 was the only girl in a very male atmosphere.
You have the Cohen of silence.
Agent Buck 29, the Jew.
Yep.
I loved Agent 99. I loved this show.
The Cohen of silence.
Right, yes.
Keep the Jewish theme going.
Try it. And, you know, get smart.
He's listening to another show in his headphones.
Sorry.
Get smart is
Ribsy,
a good...
Yes.
A ribsy.
See inside joke.
Yeah. A ribsy is when you repeat something that's just been said moments before.
Right.
In case for the listener who doesn't know Mr. Ribsy.
I did think you said cone of silence, though.
No,
but
yes. She did. I didn't.
Right. Oh, sorry. You said cone of silence.
Move on.
Let's all get smart.
Oh, we'll listen to tape. Sorry, the music's in my head.
Right. And in my soul.
No, I'll just say you were right if it gets me out of listening to
tapes.
Thank
you.
You were right.
It's a weird version of this song.
It is super weird.
It's jazzy.
Because he should be pulling up in his Carmen Ghia.
Right.
He drove a Carmen Ghia?
Yeah, first years, and then he drove the Fiat.
No, we had this argument once. I think he drove a Alpine, not Tiger, but just the... Well, that's a long story, but let's
move on.
Let's all agree on the Carmen Ghia then.
He drove a Sunbeam Alpine.
Right.
Great car.
He drove the Carmen Ghia, and at some point, I thought he drove a 2000 Roadster Datsun, but it's a long story. All right, Danny.
All right, for this particular song, I asked three people to give me three songs each, and all three of them came up with one. collectively, they all said this one, so I picked it too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain message that men of my height and weight like people to know in advance.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, if I can't really back up everything I say, my theme song can.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
if this goes bad, the cops are coming, look out, because little Napoleon's just going to go ape crap on you.
Who sings this song?
This version, I don't know.
Inner Circle.
Inner Circle.
Ah. Oh, yes.
All right, let me play you my...
It's all Bob Marley to me.
My number one song. This is... should sound familiar to all of you. Just lets people know I'm coming up the driveway.
Right.
Huh.
You haven't even arrived yet. Okay.
Door opens to the limo right here.
Yep. But you don't get out yet.
You just see a cane come out.
Yeah.
I'll say I had a foot, but okay.
A foot.
You have Jay sweep the area that you're about to walk
That's
on.
Right. Patent leather white boot that zips up on the side.
Nice.
Think Evel Knievel. People are putting their drinks down. Folding their cell phones up, putting them into the pocket, putting on vibrate.
Make sure they're on silent, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. All of this in slow motion.
Can do better than this, because then it kicks in overdrive in a second.
I was on so much acid at this point. I don't remember turning into Wipeout.
Hold on. This is Elvis, baby. Oh, this is Elvis. Okay. This is what he came out to.
You fooled me.
This is what Elvis would come out to in Vegas.
Yep.
Right.
Mighty.
Let me ask you this. When you were on Letterman, did they just play the theme to the Man Show?
Woo! I don't know what theme. I've done Letterman twice, and he's a man. Oh, I think they played I'm a Man.
Yeah, that's good.
I played I'm a Man, but I can't remember. Well, actually, the first time I did Letterman for Loveline,
right?
The TV show, with them just bringing up the Man Show. But I don't think I'd been doing the Man Show very long, so I sort of did it for another show. But I don't remember what those. I should go back and look at the tape and figure out what song it was. And I don't know what song they did the second time either. I should figure that out.
I'm gonna take
this conversation
look.
Can serve no purpose anymore.
I'm going to take a quick look at the 300 or so guest shots I've ever done and look at the tapes real quick. Yeah, come on, get happy.
Come on, get
always,
happy.
Every single time.
Plus, once one show does it, then the other show
does
it, and there you have it, a trend. All right, let's see. We have your suggestions as well. Go to line 4. I'd say not a great song, but I do understand the theme, Eric?
Yes.
You ready?
I am.
We'll just play it.
Okay. Come on, feel the noise.
Wire Riot.
Yeah.
Kevin DeBrow.
Never, must say, like, I wouldn't call this a good song, but I do kind of like it.
I think I do, too, but as a theme song entering a party, I think he would scare off all the cooch, as Jack Silver would say.
This is one of those memory songs for me, though. You know how some songs remind you of a specific
incident? Yeah, they evoke a time and
Kevin,
place.
The guy singing, was dating this hot, I'm going to go with 17-year-old, and I was dating her mother.
Really?
Yeah.
Back in 86?
Oh, no, I think before that.
Oh, maybe this is before that. Yeah, this could be like 83, 84, something like that. Hey, Eric?
Margaritas and them, they would like the song.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, you don't want to scare the cooch, but not
cooch
a bad choice.
Running.
I don't know.
The cooch scatters.
Nothing rocks like frightened cooch.
David? Frightened cooch, worst country duo ever. Hey,
open
frightened
for
cooch.
Big and Rich.
We got frightened cooch coming on.
Opening for Carrie Underwood, frightened cooch.
David?
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
That would be Tom Jones' Thunderball.
Nice.
Huh. Greatest man lyric.
Yeah, one of my favorite songs.
He always runs while others walk.
A little Bond theme going here. I didn't know Tom Jones sung this.
Yeah.
He could really sing.
Remember my pod fitness thing I'd work out to?
Yeah.
This song must have been on it 50 times because I have a limited collection of songs.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we have, we don't have, Line 7 is the theme song from H.R. Puff and Stuff.
Wow, that's sad.
That'd be funny for a stoner.
Nice job, David.
Thank you, sir.
Creative and amusing. Yeah, let's do,
and a man's man, Tom Jones, too.
Let's do one more. Let's go to Line 3. Yeah. Great band and a great live band. Hey, Abraham.
Yo, what's your next, madam?
From Bakersfield.
That's right.
You're the only guy named Abraham who lives in Bakersfield. I can guarantee you that. Yeah. What's your song?
There Goes My Hero by the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, and now it's been used in some movies and stuff and trailers, and you almost start to feel the theme just from the guitar riff. I love the Foo Fighters and a great, great live band, the Foo Fighters. All right, we need to... thanks, Abraham. We need to take ourselves a break. I believe the great Oswaldo's out there. He's got a movie review. The Born Supremacy? Is that what's up?
I think it's the Born Ultimatum.
Ultimatum, that's
Born
right.
Born Comes Home.
I saw it myself. Oh, so
did you?
I saw it with Bill Simmons, the ESPN sports guy.
Dear Diary, I saw the Born Ultimatum with the Ace. I ordered a. I paid for the tickets. Ace bought the popcorn, and I bought the plain M&M's jumbo pack and emptied it into said popcorn container, shaking it up. I invented that diary.
Hey, that's genius.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Go Sox.
That's how he ends every entry.
He
Go Sox.
Yes, yeah, every conversation, every entry, every exchange with Bill,
sex?
The sports guy.
And?
I'm finished. Go Sox. And go to the fridge and get me a sandwich.
Or better yet, just turn into a sandwich.
Better yet, just go.
Go Sox. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Ozzy in next for a movie review.
Yeah, crazy,
he's a Latin man, there is no doubt.
Oz.
Yep, I'm here.
He's Nicaraguan born, that's why he's brown.
I'm vice versa.
Vice versa.
Most of his English is mispronounced. And there's a sound he makes when he wants his wife around. His name's Oswaldo. Confusing when he talks.
I remember some friend, you know, living this parambolo in this movie.
This what?
His name's Oswaldo. Ooh. He's short and hairy.
Hell yeah.
Wow, how fitting. We just went off that Foo Fighter song into Ozzy's own song. Ozzy, good to see you.
Yep. Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Hey.
I saw the Born Ultimatum myself on Friday with sports guy Bill Simmons. Enjoyed it immensely and thought people respond to quality. You know, movies, I complain a lot that we're living in a place where everyone loves NASCAR and everyone loves crappy thick crust pizza and everyone loves everything that's bad and boring and mindless and loud and colorful, and we're becoming children. People are becoming dumber. They're now liking worse music, worse art forms, worse whatever. But the movies do give me new hope.
Yeah.
Because when a good movie comes along, people respond favorably to it, and they go out and see it in droves. Like the Bourne series is nice writing, nice acting, and good old-fashioned action.
Yep.
Fights and car chases. None of that CGI iRobot crap where you can't – everything's just a sea of animated crap. This is just good old-fashioned hand-to-hand combat, and everyone seems to love it. Ozzy?
Yeah.
Let's start the review.
Okie dokie, start the music.
Yeah.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie that I saw over this weekend was The Bourne Ultimatum.
The Bourne Ultimatum.
The Bourne Ultimatum star Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
It's Jason Bourne. Bourne.
So, well, I'll give you a clue. However you mispronounce it the first time, you should mispronounce it the second time when you say his name, because his name is the name of the movie.
I read.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
John Allen is Pan Landy. John Allen is Pan Landy.
See, we do the Joan. We don't do the you. You know what I mean?
John.
Right.
Yeah.
Julia Stiles is Nikki Parson.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
That was good.
The Bourne Ultimatum is the last movie in a three-part series about one super agent.
And why do you have to do three parts? I mean, if it's a good series and people like the character and make $70 million the first week, and the next one will make $80 million the next week just based on the strength of the first three.
Yeah.
Why three? Why do you got to do everything in threes?
Ask James Bond.
Oh, trilogy.
He breaks that.
Yeah, I know. He just keeps going.
But everybody else is, they think they're artsy fartsy and stop because they made a trilogy.
Right.
Bourne is better than the Agent 007.
He's better than Agent 007.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Jason is super in this movie with action, car crash, velocity, martial art, and strategy infiltration.
What? What was the last thing?
Strategy.
Strategy. Infiltration.
Infiltration.
Infiltration, yeah. Did you bring a clip?
Yeah, here a clip of Bourne Os Martin, one the bad guy. Clip, Brian, please.
Noel Vosum.
This is Jason Bourne.
I was wondering when you were going to make this call.
Perhaps we can arrange a meet.
Where are you now?
I'm sitting in my office.
I doubt that.
Why would you doubt that?
If you were in your office right now, we'd be having this conversation face to face.
Ah.
Love that.
Mm.
Love that stuff. And he says at least one of those every movie.
Yes.
He's cute.
Yeah, it's very funny, this part.
Yeah, it's good times.
Bourne kick everyone's ass that stand in the way.
Mm-hmm.
He catches the organization that made him into the assassin.
Asinine?
Turn him into an assassin?
Assassin.
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 Yes.
Yeah.
In the end, the war.
Huh?
In the end of the day, the Bourne Ultimatum left this reviewer cold.
And that was Oswaldo's movie review. We hope you didn't
have a good job, Ozman.
Ozzy, even though it left you cold, I get the sense that this is your favorite of all the movies you've reviewed for us.
No.
You'd be wrong.
Mm. Yep.
What do you think your favorite is?
Crash.
Oh, you like Crash?
Yeah,
Crash. What the hell did you understand Crash? I didn't even understand Crash.
I love that movie, too.
Yeah, I love, you know, it's Oscar the reality, you know?
Yeah. It's about racism.
He likes the racial themes,
Police extortion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people start to screw over other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time, the Chinese lady talked to the police, a Latin girl, you know?
Yeah.
It's in the comment. No paper. It's very funny.
It's good times. I don't think I have to see it anymore.
It's a realistic depiction of racism here in L.A.
Yeah. Ozzy, who's the nicest white guy you know? That's right.
That's a sound for his wife.
Your wife's a white guy?
That's my sound, too.
Ozzy, how are the babies?
Very good. I saw the last Friday, and Sonny is tremendous. It's very funny. Seeing laughing and making, you know, the smile. the bad boy, you know.
He's a big boy, yeah. And Ozzy picks him up, and he gives them the ka-kong, and he gives Ozzy a headbutt.
Nice.
Cute.
Yeah. Right, then Ozzy gives the cluck-cluck noise, and the kids come looking. I mean, that noise, it's smart. You just walk in, and you make the pop, Ozzy.
Yep.
Make that. Jeez. Everyone drops what they're doing. Ozzy's here.
His personal theme song.
Yeah. For me, my noise is complaining about whatever I was talking about outside of the door, inside the house. Now, everyone knows. But they scatter and they go a different direction. Yeah. All right, Oz. Good times there, okay, brother man. You. Nice job. We'll take a quick break. T.
Yeah.
The news. What's coming up in it?
Well, we're going to hear a little bit more about what Nicole Richie had to say to Diane Sawyer. What happened to that guy with no arms and one leg who insists on driving in Florida? And
Florida?
Yeah. Well, talk about some of the baseball records set this weekend.
I didn't hear about the one arm, one leg guy, but shocking that it's in Florida. We'll do that in the news next.
Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
This go to a living.
If you said this is Spinal Tap.
These go to 11.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, before we get to the news, quickly, my favorite part of USA Today, the snapshot, little graphics that have the stupid things on it you don't care about. Mm-hmm. Well, evidently, some of the people they ask don't care either. It's not the... The topic is of no consequence here. It's the part where, well, I'll break it down for you. This is a topic in the snapshot of USA Today's unplanned absences and careers. Do unplanned absences have a negative impact on long-term career development and compensation? Hmm. All right. 41% of the people say yes, 58 say no, and 1% don't know.
Huh?
Just don't know.
I can't tell you.
Need the don't know represented on the page.
What is the percentage of people who believe that unexplained absences will not have a negative effect on your career?
58. I don't know if it's unexplained or unplanned.
Either way, how many think you and I get?
Zero, I think. I'm not even sure who they talk to. I just love whenever they do it and they have the I don't know. I want that guy pushed. To me, as a polar, you're not doing your job if you come back with a, You poke that guy in the ribs. Believe me, if I sent my buddy Ray out to go get some answers on unplanned absences in the career place, there would be no I don't knows.
No.
There'd be a lot of screaming yes and stop it hurts no, but there would be no I don't knows.
There'd be several whatever it is you want me to say.
Right. It's not like the poll was... What is the meaning of life?
Yeah, not a difficult question. I know. You know, they'll do that thing. Well, they'll do like favorite comfort food. They'll be like fried chicken, pizza, mom's home stew. I don't know. Will be 14% of the people.
Should fast food workers wash their hands?
Don't
yes
know.
No?
Just don't know. Not willing to commit. All right, T.
Yep.
One thing I do know is it's time for the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
After going 7 games over 8 days without scoring a home run, Barry Bonds finally tied Hank Aaron's all-time record on Saturday by hitting a homer off Padres pitcher Clay Hensley in the second inning at San Diego's Petco Park. After the game, he was very, very thankful.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the San Diego fans. I thought it was outstanding, and I want to thank my teammates, my family here. I just want to thank everybody. The hard part is over right now.
My good friends and, over at Balco.
You know, I want to send out my congratulations to Alex Rodriguez. I was cheering for you, rooting for you. I'm so proud of you. I want to thank all my peers throughout baseball.
Who hate my guts. I can't remember the guy's name who runs Balco, but I want to give him the same advice, the guy who runs the drug lab.
Victor Conte,
yes. Thank you, Brian. The guy who runs the lab that got shut down over there in the Bay Area for providing the clear to Barry Bonds. I'm going to give him the same piece of advice that Joe Jackson, Michael Jackson's lawyer, should give to him and Ike Turner and all the guys that have the penciled in mustache, which is when you're brought up on charges of anything and you have to give that interview in front of the courthouse on the steps saying you're not guilty, you're innocent. People don't buy it as much with the weird penciled in just above the upper lip mustache, but doesn't go up to the nose. That screams, I sell lead-based paint to kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, when Joe Jackson, when Michael Jackson tries to do a thing, it was like, I was a great dad. I never raised a hand to my child. I never did this. But he's doing it with the crazy penciled in mustache. Bad times. All right.
He shouldn't look like Snidely Whiplash when denying anything.
Right. And never curl it using just a little bit of wax with your right finger.
It screams evil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Barry Bonds was alluding to A-Rod's 500th home run, which he hit on Saturday, same day that Bonds hit his record-setting home run. So congratulations to A-Rod. And also, Mets pitcher Tom Glavine won his 300th career game. So it was a big weekend for baseball.
I would be, if I was facing Bonds, Danny, you got to get a walk around, get a look at Victor over here. Yeah, just get a look at that penciled in mustache.
Adam, this is radio.
I just can't believe what that man said.
No, that guy's saying I never knowingly gave Barry Bonds steroids. Whatever he said. If he said, I'm having a press conference on the stairs of the courthouse, I'm here to tell everyone the world is round. I'd be like, you're a liar! Liar! You and your lying mustache go back to Lieville and lie down!
Yeah, I'm here to tell you I have a penciled in mustache. Liar!
Liar!
That penciled in mustache screams liar.
Was Nicole Richie lying when she sat down with Diane Sawyer?
Hold on, let me say this with the Barry Bonds thing. Whoever is facing this guy next.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way sports goes is there's a handful of guys in the Hall of Fame who are Cy Young winning pitchers, and then there's everyone else. The names, these guys spend 16 months in the show, and then they go back down to the minor leagues. If I was pitching against Bonds coming up in the next few weeks, I would be underhanding him the ball because he will hit that home run, and that footage will be shown more than any other sports footage in history.
Yeah.
First off, it'll be all over the news in the next few days.
Right.
But then, just like Hank Aaron, I don't know, it was Al Downing. I'm not sure who threw up Hank Aaron's one where he beat Babe Ruth, but that's all over the news.
Yeah.
And that was 30-something years ago. And it's just, we didn't have cameras in every corner.
Right.
You will go on for history. You will be in the Hall of Fame. You will be there.
Right.
Yeah. You be there because you threw the pitch that Barry Bonds hit to win, to break the record, but you'll be there.
Yep.
So you think it's worth it, even if you'll be remembered as the pitcher that
those guys don't get much crap. They, as a matter of fact, get sort of sucked into the whole thing, too, and they just make all the... No one never says, oh, that was a horrible pitch,
right,
because they're so... Yeah, they're so busy celebrating the hit, they don't go, wow, that was an 80-mile-an-hour so-so fastball that had no movement on it and was right down the middle of the plate.
I don't know anything about sports, but I do know if he's tied Hank Aaron, people expect him to hit the pitch now.
Right.
So how much crap are you going to take because you threw a pitch that a guy that hits more balls than anybody else in the world hits?
Yeah. You just do that thing that the batting practice coach does. You show him the ball first. You go, there we go. Okay, here we go. Then you wind up and you go underhand.
Yeah.
Throw the rainbow. That's right.
Well, some of Diane Sawyer's questions were softballs.
Mm.
She sat down with Nicole Richie, and Nicole Richie tried to explain why she got into so many bad things when she was younger.
I got so much so fast that nothing really excited me anymore. I kind of took matters into my own hands and was creating drama in a very dangerous way.
It was hard to see anything else but a shallow life.
I think I was just bored and I had seen everything. Especially when you're young, you constantly want more.
I like when people who are not 30 yet talk about what it's like to be young.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. Oh, man. My cell phone was marginally bigger than the one I hold before you. It was a different time.
Well, Diane Sawyer then breaks out a bunch
of... I had an iPod that only held 5,000 songs.
What?
That's right. Daddy had to walk 2 foot in the snow to get to the mailbox where they dropped off the iPod that only held 5,000 songs.
What was that
Do you
like?
Hear me, son? I'd hear the same song like every 9 months.
Oh.
It was brutal.
Horrible. Well,
it's just that I'm laughing. I'm living that life, Adam. I live that life right now.
I know.
Now, you guys remember when all those creepy pictures of Nicole Richie came out? She was jogging on the beach in her bathing suit. She looked skeletal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Diane Sawyer breaks out a bunch of these pictures and just flat out says, what gives? And here's Nicole's answer.
I see a girl that is obviously going through something and much, much too skinny.
Last picture.
That was around the same time. I just wasn't taking care of myself.
People look at this, she's barely recognizable. You're barely there.
Yeah.
Do you see, to most people, how close you look? You look to death.
Yes.
Were you?
No, I wasn't.
But was that drug related?
I think that it possibly could have played a part, definitely.
Liar!
Should she go back to Liveville?
Yeah, she should lie down in Liveville with her thin little mustache.
Wait, did I mishear something? Did she say it might have been? I don't know.
She said she didn't have an eating disorder. Maybe it had to do with the drugs. Maybe she was anxious and nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So she dropped a lot of weight.
But maybe it could have been the drugs, too. That's okay. That's not a huge lie. That's copping to us doing blow and in trouble and this and that.
Well, how many fat heroin addicts do you know?
Almost none.
Yeah.
I mean, surprisingly or not, I know more heroin addicts than I don't.
Right. Yeah. So more the lion's share with. Of the people that are in your Rolodex are strung out or were at one
and
time
really,
or another.
Really, really thin.
Although she did say that she hadn't done heroin in several years.
Mm-hmm.
God
That's
bless
what
her.
She said, and I don't know if she had the mustache on at the time. She did tell Diane Sawyer that in other celebrity eating disorder news, this just in. You know, Tandy Newton from Mission Impossible, she was also in Ozzy's favorite movie, Crash. Beautiful, beautiful girl.
Mm.
She was in Pursuit of Happiness. She is now saying that she battled bulimia for a year. She told People magazine that her eating disorder started when she was a teenager and a ballet dancer.
Mm.
And she tried to stay thin, so she only ate cottage cheese. And then years later, she had a relapse because she was involved in a string of very abusive, emotionally abusive relationships. And so she started throwing up again. And she has she describes it to People magazine very graphically in saying that her bulimia was so severe that she has, quote, scars on my knuckles from where I put my fingers down my throat.
Mm.
So she had a very
You're
intense.
Making me case. Hot. Yeah, she's hot.
I've
Although
never heard that one before.
She was 90 pounds in Mission Impossible 2.
She was a rail.
Yeah.
I've heard my teeth got yellow. I heard I damaged my esophagus. I've heard all sorts of stuff, but I've never heard my knuckles.
The
I'll bet it's actually she put her fists on the floor when she got sick and thinks the scars on her knuckles are from putting her fingers down her throat.
Oh, that's interesting.
You mean, because she put her hand so far down her throat, she bit down on her...
No, well, look. Theoretically, you could scrape them on the way back out.
Right.
If you want to get out of your own way.
Yeah.
Ah. Ooh. The more
I
you
know. I know some of these guys, too.
Well,
I hang with a fun crowd, man.
Maybe you should invent a glove for bulimics or anorexics.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just if you're going to be a bulimic anyway, why enhance the harm you're already doing to yourself?
I could just hear the infomercial now. I'd love to throw up and lose some weight, but every time I do, I skin my knuckles. How do your hands stay so youthful, Teresa, and your ass so small?
I use the bulima glove.
Bulima glove?
The bulima glove.
What's that?
Well, you put it on, and when you throw up, doesn't affect your knuckles at all.
Tell me this. Does it come for lefties?
Comes for lefties and righties. And if you buy it now, you get a special bulima spoon.
How about the bulima bucket? Because I keep vomiting into trash cans and potted plants.
If you pay in 3 monthly installments, mm-hmm. you get the bulima bucket.
When should I act?
Now!
Now!
Thank you. And ironically, you should act better.
when should I that. Act better?
Now! The bulima bucket. Well, let me say this about the ballet, because they always do that thing where they go, I was in ballet and I had an eating disorder because I had to stay thin to fit in the whatever. Well, here's where eating disorders come from. Bad mommies. Bad mommies that seek perfection for for the kids. So when they sort of have the perfectionist mommies where nothing is good enough, thus the eating disorder. Now, the perfectionist mommies put the girls into ballet. That's part of the deal. And then the eating disorder shows itself, and they always connect it to the activity,
yeah.
But it's not to the activity of ballet, it's to the chick who drove you to the ballet
right.
lessons.
Right.
So they always blame the ballet, but it's not that. It's one of those things where it's easy to make the correlation between yeah. eating disorder and ballet. It's eating disorder and mommy who wants daughter in ballet.
Right.
That's the correlation.
A different mommy might put the little girl in soccer.
Right.
So it's maybe not inherently the ballet, although ballet does encourage you to be very tiny.
Yeah, but no, I'm with Adam on the I've heard I was in ballet more than any other thing.
Yes.
I think I believe I've heard I was a jockey once
yeah.
or twice.
Mm-hmm.
And they do tell you to drop weight a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
right,
well some homo's got to carry you over his head.
Yes.
You know, you got to weigh 90 pounds. That guy's going to drop you.
Be hoisted by a guy in a codpiece.
Yep. I could not remember codpiece to save my life.
You Thank better
you.
Get bulimia glove.
Right now.
It's a great Christmas gift.
It's true.
You're eating a lot of pies over the holidays.
Right. The holidays are especially when you need the bulimic glove.
Absolutely.
Okay. In Florida, your favorite state, there's a 40-year-old man named Michael Francis Wiley.
Mm-mm.
He's got one leg and no arms. One leg, no arms.
Mm-hmm.
He will not stop driving. When he was 13... You might have seen footage of him. It's been all over the news.
Yeah, it does sound familiar
That's
now.
That's all you could have is foot. Of him. You get a feetage.
No handage.
Yeah, no handage. No feetage. Thank you, over here.
One needage.
Probably till January 2nd would be my guess.
Okay. When Michael was 13, he lost both arms and the leg in an electrical accident. But he trained himself to survive with just one leg, and that included learning how to drive. At one point, he even got himself a valid driver's license from the state of Florida. But since 1985...
No arms.
No arms. One leg.
You know, you hear about the people that don't have use of their legs,
yeah.
so they get the specially rigged
yeah.
van, and they control the throttle and the brake with their hands, right. just like, I don't know, if you're riding a motorcycle or something, but... How do you steer with no arms?
I'm going to go, let me guess real quick. Some yeah. kind of extension that goes into his teeth.
Hmm?
Here's how he drives. He starts the car by putting the key between his toes and twisting it. Then he shifts with his knee, turns on the lights with his teeth, and steers with the stump of his left arm. He uses his good leg, obviously, for the pedal.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a bad leg or just a no leg?
He has a good. Well, I'm not exactly sure, but he... As
whatever legs left becomes your good leg.
Right.
Okay.
Now, since 1985, his license has been suspended several times because of traffic violations for drug use. And then one time he took his good leg and he kicked a state trooper with it.
Really? There is an actual expression when saying something you're a total loser.
Yeah.
It's like being a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest.
Right.
Because yeah. it can't be done.
Right.
Well, apparently this guy is putting that to shame. It can be done.
He did kick a state trooper, and most recently he was busted for driving with a suspended license back in May. Some cops saw him getting into his Ford Explorer. They knew about his reputation. You can't hide when you're the dude with no arms and one leg. They tried to stop him. There was a high-speed chase, and he got away. The cops,
I love this guy.
The cops may be a little embarrassed because they lost him.
Mm.
So they're saying it was because they slowed down so no one would get hurt.
Yeah, not since the guy who got beat up at the airport by Richard Simmons.
Right.
Has there been a male so embarrassed when he had to go back into work the next day?
Well, on Friday, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison for felony driving.
Let me say this. How do you even know the guy's driving on drugs or intoxicated? Because if I was a cop, I'd be like, hey, I saw the Explorer. You're weaving all over the road. And then I'd pull up and put my head in the window and be like, oh. Have you been
amputated?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. Let me give you an escort back to the veterans home. Like, I would say that the guy weaving and driving erratically would be a cause to think he was on drugs or booze, but when you showed up to the Explorer and he had no arms and one leg, that pretty much explains that,
but
doesn't it?
You didn't have... a reputation, whether it was be with the school or cops or anything when you were growing up?
Oh, with the school, yeah.
Yeah, there was a time. Cops. There was a time when I was living on my boat, Marina Del Rey, that if I stepped off the boat, the cops came and got me and searched me just the mm-hmm. second I stepped on dry land.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they were mostly right.
And that's I would imagine, smaller town in Florida. They must all, everyone in town must know this guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's from a town called Newport Richey. Florida.
All right.
Don't imagine
with
that's
eating disorder.
Metropolis. Yep.
The town gets smaller every year.
Well, bad times. You got one more for us, T?
Sure. An addendum to that, he got 5 years in prison and 15 years of drug offender probation. So I think his driving days are done. But here's a happy story. On Thursday, a 96-year-old man and a 92-year-old woman from British Columbia, Canada, are getting married. 96 and 92. One of the things they say they're most looking forward to, having their way with each other.
Really?
Yes. They met at their nursing home. Ross Place. They met at Ross Place, their nursing home, and this is sweet. Frank, the gentleman, sat down at Lillian's table at dinner. She was reading a newspaper, and he said to her, in classic old person style, "Didn't your mother ever tell you it was rude to read at the table?" She liked his attitude. They started eating all their meals together, and then a few months later, right there in that very same dining room, he proposed. Now, both of them had been married
128 times?
No.
I'm just doing Hollywood math. Yeah.
One had been married 71 years.
Like, if Rod Stewart made it to 95,
right,
he gets married every 14 months. It's like 126.
Well, these are Canadian, so it's in regular years.
Different thing over there. Okay.
The Frank, the gentleman.
I should go slower.
Frank was married 71 years, which equals, what, 91?
Wow.
And Lillian was married 62, so that's a total of 133 years of marriage. Between them, Lillian is saying she will not wear a white dress because, quote, "I'm not a virgin anymore, so I don't wear white."
I like it.
God bless them.
I do. I like it, too, but I don't like... I don't like when folks I don't want to picture having sex talk about having sex. No offense, Bonaducci, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't like it when the old person goes, "You know, we're just like newlyweds." I'm always like, you know, it's everything is sort of one step removed from your own parents, but you don't want to hear your parents saying, "Hey, guess who broke some off last night, son? High five." Hey, yeah, give a hand a whiff. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you don't want any of that from pops, but it's really just from old people in general. It's your parents, it's two strikes. A, it's your parents. B, they're over 50. You don't want to hear about it. But whenever the 90-year-olds are talking about hitting it, going to hit some of that, going to get on some of that.
When they're that old, I got some disturbing news. I think it was yesterday. I think she thought she had mentioned this to me before, so said it casually, and I don't think she's ever told me. Amy's mom, who happens to be hot.
Right.
Her boyfriend is 4 years younger than I am.
So your girlfriend's mom's boyfriend
is 4 years younger than me.
Yeah.
What a tangled web we weave. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
It is funny, though, if there is an old dude and he's talking about getting it on, if he's talking about getting it on with a young chick, then I give him the pass.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
But like, two oldsters, you don't want to hear.
Two oldsters don't work. Maybe there's a combined age I don't want to exceed.
Aha.
100? I don't want to exceed 100.
Total.
Combined, yeah. You could be 80 and she could be 19?
Yeah.
I'd be cool.
70,
30. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, it becomes like intriguing in a bizarre way. Like, wait a minute, old man. Listen, old miner, get off that donkey. Them golden hills. Listen, Pappy Parker, you hit it with a 19. You darn too. No one, not doing a game, too. And he smacks his hat against his hip, you know.
This is all taking place in a saloon.
With Gabby Hayes.
Dagnabbit.
You better say your prayers, you flea bitten varmint.
I checked that ass, Dagnabbit. We will take ourselves a quick break. Someone is not getting laid. Prisoner David.
Or maybe he is.
Always, always entertaining. Prisoner David calling from the joint next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check in with David, who's doing 25 to life in a California state penitentiary for conspiracy to commit murder.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Prisoner David.
Adam, what's happening?
Good to speak to you.
Yes.
What's going on over there in the joint?
Well, today's actually a good day. We're not on lockdown. Every time we're not on lockdown, it's a good day.
And what will you be doing today after we hang up the phone?
Oh, let me see. Probably taking a few laps. I got to mow the lawn. Do a few little gardening things around here.
So will you, do you really mow the lawn?
Yes, a real lawnmower.
Do they give you one of those ride-along ones, the tractor style?
No, it's one of the ones with the blades. The little small ones with the blades on it.
Do you actually push?
Yes, a push one. It's horrible.
And why would you laugh that a guy has to push a mower in prison?
I don't imagine. But they don't want to give us gasoline, you know?
Yeah, I know. They don't want to give you anything that moves or burns or what have you. But the mower seems sort of dangerous, too. But on the other hand, you're in with the guys that aren't screwing up, right?
Yes, exactly.
What's your hourly wage for mowing?
About 13 cents an hour. Not too much.
Do you get to the outside, and I will double that. Okay?
Okay, yeah, I'll take it.
And Manuel, if you're listening, you're gone in 25 to life. Right.
That's right. Adam, check this out, man. You know, in here, a lot of guys, you know, they're kind of like bitter and angry, which I'm probably one of them most
this
of the time.
Recorded call.
There's a lot of guys.
So. Inmate at a California correction.
A lot of guys are actually like prison.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, they actually don't want to leave. They got life sentences and they're happy. I want to put somebody on today that actually likes prison so he can give you a feel of why he likes
all
prison.
All right.
I love the Prison with David had guests.
What's his name? I know he's like Dick Cavett in The Joint.
That's a good one.
Except for he's funnier. Well, come on. Cavett hasn't been funny in like 30 years.
Mr. Dungeon Dan.
Dungeon Dan.
Dungeon Dan.
Hello there.
Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, all right. How you doing, man?
What are you in for, Dan?
Oh, I'm a three striker. I got a false imprisonment. I should have got a year in the county jail.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just a misdemeanor. It's not serious or violent.
So you stole some corn nuts, and now you're in for life.
Right, and they gave me 35 years to life. And when the judge gave me 35 years to life in prison, I was kind of angry at first.
Sure.
But then a year later, I thought about it. I said, how could the judge give me life when God gave me life?
Ah.
You know what I mean? It don't make no sense.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I live life so abundantly in here.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you be doing besides stealing really cheap stuff that got you locked up forever if you were on the outside?
Oh, what would I be doing?
Mm-hmm.
I would be working, but really, it's not outside. It's in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice in here. I'd like to thank Arnold, and I'd like to thank all the taxpayers, really.
Yeah.
Because they feed you and give you a cot.
I got tennis courts. I got basketball courts. Every day just gets better and better in here.
Yeah, it's like being locked in the YMCA forever.
Right.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Oh, sure I do.
Right on, man.
What's his name?
What's his name?
Tank.
Hey, and I got a personalized gardener, David.
Well, now, do you have a girlfriend on the outside, Dan?
Sure.
And you write letters and so forth?
Sure we do.
How often does she visit you?
About once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you get conjugal visits?
Sure.
No, you get conjugal visits?
Sure we do.
I thought you had to be married for that.
That's kind of under the hat. You know what I mean? We got to keep quiet about that, you know?
Well, how do you work out the conjugal visit?
How do we work it out?
I mean, do you know a guard or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of kept quiet, you know?
All right. Well, I thought you were a man of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are, but, you know, that's...
Why don't you marry her and make an honest woman out of her?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Do you want to get married?
Sure.
Are you high right now?
No, I'm not high.
Dude, do you sing everything you say?
Yeah.
Hey, and you know what, too?
We're
more safer in here than the outside. If you look at it.
Not from the grammar police.
Yeah.
More safer.
We're more safer in here.
Things are more better.
Bin Laden can't touch us in here.
I don't want to correct you, but I think it's safer-er.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, so what are you going to do today, Dan?
Oh, I'm going to probably jog and probably go play some tennis right now.
Really? You get to go play tennis?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I've got to say this. I know this sounds bizarre, but Dan got us started. Why not? How many other people do you know that can go play tennis at 9:30 in the morning if they choose on any given weekday?
That's right. How many people could?
Let me say this, Prisoner Dan.
Sure.
I slept down every morning. You know, look, we all live in a prison. Mine just has gilded bars on
it. Right.
Point is I go downstairs of my house, my prison, that I have to pay for and then pay taxes for
this
so that you can stay
from an inmate
in prison.
At a California correctional facility.
And I cook myself breakfast. I don't have some guy put my ass on my own shingle. I have to make my own glass on a shingle every morning. Yeah. And then I eat and I hustle to work. You go down to a breakfast that's already prepared, and you hustle out to the court to work on your backhand.
Okay, watch this. Now, I got personalized cooks here that prepare my food.
Kosher meals?
Personalized cooks, right. They clean my table before I sit down and eat, and they clean it after.
That's true. You got guys cleaning up after you. You do.
I got guys in here doing my laundry.
That's true.
Look at Prisoner Dave. He's my gardener.
He's mowing the lawn. Someone else doing the laundry. Someone else giving you three meals a day.
I want to thank the taxpayers out there.
I understand.
We appreciate that. Can I just ask you a quick question on these conjugal visits?
Sure.
How long do you get?
How long do you get?
For the visit?
It's kind of fast.
Will they give you an hour, 2 hours?
I'll say about maybe in less than a minute.
That's all he needs.
That's all we need,
Mm-hmm.
I meant how long do they give you in the trailer, but I get your point.
I don't think he's answering that one because
he's not allowed to be
being evasive about it. Hey, Dan.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you next week, huh, buddy?
All right, next week. Can I say something?
Sure. Yeah.
Honestly, the law of the lawbreaker itself for breeding criminals, mass production.
You have 6 seconds.
Arnold thinks he's got a problem in here.
You have 3 seconds, go.
Arnold thinks he's got a problem in here.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know? And he's breeding criminals, mass production.
Got it. I think I know what he means.
Like breeding them personally? Like mm-hmm. in a
he means our,
barn?
Our governor
Trump
is...
Trump state well for the state prison.
What happened to the 6 seconds?
Yeah, they lied.
All right.
We should be so lucky.
All right, so Dan's making a little commentary on the situation inside the joint.
Yeah, his point is well taken.
I can dig what he's saying. I love Prisoner David. He gets on the phone once a month with us because he's in lockdown the other 3 weeks out of the month. And then as soon as he gets on the phone, he hands the phone off to some goofball who talks about Jesus Christ for 20 minutes.
He's generous. He's like one of those people in show business that helps others.
No, he's not. He's a professional radio guy, wasn't he, before he had his wife trying to have his wife killed?
Yes.
He's not his wife, but someone.
All right, allegedly, although he's in jail for it, so I think I'm safe to say he had tried to have somebody killed.
Yes.
Right.
But he's still got the background that he's got. A lot of times a teacher or a doctor will go to prison, and they will end up teaching and doctoring at the hospital.
Yeah, but he's
Dan's
generous.
Doing a radio show with guests.
Yeah.
He thought that guy would be interesting, and he wants to be back on the show.
He's a convicted felon, but a congenial host first.
Right.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. I'm talking to you.
Okay.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back.
All righty, boys and girls, we're at it again. August 18th, I'm taking on some guy named Danny, which is going to be weird. Everybody's going to be yelling, hey, Danny, and we'll be talking to different guys. He's from the Opie and Anthony show. They're in New York. Anyway, they're coming out here for a paintball war, and I'm looking for a squadron. That's right, a squadron. Or some guys, and a girl if you want, to join me in the paintball war. This should actually be really fun. I'm going to bring my kid. I'm going to bring Isabella. Log on to AdamCarolla.com so you can brawl right alongside me. It's powered by War, arriving in theaters August 24th, starring Jet Li and Jason Statham. So dig that and come on out and shoot some guns with me.
Bonaduce, she was killed by friendly fire.
You know that's going to happen.
Somebody put an old Civil War musket ball in there instead of a paintball. Bonaduce was dropped. All right.
Look for Isabella's fingerprints on it.
Harry Shearer, I want to thank him for coming in. Songs Pointed and Pointless. Out tomorrow. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Hey, douchebag, what part of large Pepsi didn't you understand?